government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Tuesday, my friends, the fifth day of August 2008. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. The heavily censored and restricted websites being censored and restricted by governments, universities, corporations, internet service providers, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com have been updated, of course, multiple times daily for you. They are there awaiting you to go check out the information posted there. To back up almost every subject or issue that we cover here on the air. If not, we have links to our guest websites where they back up their claims and the information that they cover. I have launched a big contest. In fact, I've launched a bunch of contests. One of them ends midnight Central Time, and that is this Sunday. And by this afternoon, we already have the contest pages up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, where you can submit your videos. One of them, it's going to be a $2,000 prize. $2,000 prize for whoever can make the best video, and that is the video that gets the most hits, the most YouTube views, or views on any other platform where it can be independently verified. I recommend YouTube, the most viral. Whoever has the most hits with a YouTube video covering the censorship of PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com from the video of my rant yesterday that is posted on Infowars.com for free. You can go there and grab it. It's in higher quality on PrisonPlanet.tv. We're working to make the high-quality version free right now. So you've got 5.5 days, $2,000 for the one-place prize. There's only one place in that contest. There's $1,000 I'm just throwing in for whoever makes the best, and that'll just be judged by me by Sunday night, the best trailer for Truth Rising, the best fan trailer. And that'll just be judged by what I think is the best. But whatever's up there the quickest and gets the most hits, that'll also be brought into consideration. And then coming up on the 19th, we're going to have another one about internet censorship overall to fight back against it and to identify it. It can be 2 minutes long, it can be 10 minutes long, under 10 minutes long. And that is going to be $5,000. And there's going to be a second place is 1,000, third place 500. But the good news is we all win because free speech is defended. Hundreds of videos, no doubt, will be made the next 15 days for that contest, and they'll all get hundreds of thousands of views in just the first few months, I would guess. Millions total, and so very effective. We're doing this to expose. Will it save the internet by itself? No. But will it light bushfires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will help push out the full nature of internet censorship to a larger audience? Yes. It's resistance, and resistance is victory, ladies and gentlemen. If we resist, we win. If we lay down, we die. And then I've got another $2,000 prize for the 19th. A $2,000 prize for the best new Declaration of Independence. And then a $1,000 prize for the best bill of particulars listing in detail with hyperlinks the crimes of the New World Order. The more, the better. There's millions of them, but let's see what you can list. The admitted murdering children with chemical and biological and radiological testing. You know, killing foster children, staging wars, staging terror attacks, bid rigging, just DU, GMO, just all of it. List it all. $1,000 prize. That's $3,000 for essays right there. All right, massive news, key info, your calls straight ahead. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
He joins us once a month, and I can't think of a better time to have him on. He's Mike Rivero. He's going to be with us for a full hour, getting into the anthrax patsy and that whole cover-up. It's very hard to find it, but if you dig deep into the LA Times and a few other publications, he committed suicide in the mental institution. This microbiologist, this Fort Detrick, Maryland vaccine expert. Meanwhile, we have this lieutenant colonel who broke into the level 4 bioweapons lab, and he is not a suspect and is still working in another government bioweapons facility. And so Mike Rivera will be with us in the second hour today. In the third and fourth hour, we're going to have Alan Watt, New World Order researcher, for 2 hours, and we're going to have open phones with Alan Watt for most of the 2 hours today, and we'll talk about many of the current issues here in the scientific dictatorship that we are in the middle of. I also want to take a lot of your phone calls in this first hour today. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. I do have economic news, news on the Olympics, the big bombing in China, killing 16 police. Another bizarre report here. Knights Templars heirs in legal battle with the Pope out of the London Telegraph. We'll be covering that in this first hour. But first, I wanted to briefly tell you a story. YouTube videos have been made of my interviews before on the John Gibson Fox News Radio Network. I looked for one this morning, and I guess no one was listening to it who's a listener of this show, so YouTube hasn't been made yet. Perhaps somebody can find it and put one out so that we can, tomorrow or maybe even later in the day, play a clip of it so you can hear it for yourself. But John Gibson was out yesterday, and so his lapdog, his little Ed McMahon, I would call it kind of like Salacious Crumb to Jabba the Hutt, little creature that sits in his lap and giggles and laughs and calls me a conspiracy theorist and a nut job in the background whenever I'm on the show many times. I've probably been on there 10 times over the last year and a half. He was the host yesterday. I forget his name. And I was on there about 20 minutes. And he would just laugh at me and giggle at me and say I was a conspiracy theorist and that I didn't believe in the moon landings and mix in things like that that I don't even get into, while I brought up the fact that the White House was on Cipro, the anthrax-fighting antibiotics, September 10th, according to Ari Fleischer, White House Press Secretary, the Associated Press, and many other publications. The White House admits it. We have the video of it. In fact, it's in the upcoming film Fabled Enemies. And he just basically said that I hate Jews was the whole gist of it. And I said, no, we're just pointing out that Lieutenant Colonel Zach has ties to Israeli intelligence and that he had been disciplined for racially harassing Arabs that worked at the facility, and that he broke in the level 4 bioweapons laboratory after he'd been fired. Now, that's all was in the mainstream newspapers back at the time, but since dropped, and they've never investigated him. And we're just saying, look, the White House was on Cipro, the anthrax-fighting antibiotic, what, 4 weeks before the letters showed up and started killing people? Weeks and weeks before they were mailed out. And the White House just arrogantly says, yeah, we were on Cipro. The White House, the cabinet went on it on September 10th, and we point all that out, and he would just laugh at me and call me a conspiracy theorist. And I said, are you saying that's not true? And he just said, no, I'm just laughing at you. And then he went to a caller who laughed at me and made a joke, and then they both laughed like it's funny. It's not funny. It's this fake, self-assured, self-satisfied attitude that people who think they're members of the establishment have while Rome is crumbling and falling down around us, while this modern Rome, this New World Order, is just sliding into complete mental illness and mass decadence. And then, and I haven't heard the tape of it yet, that's why I want to go back, because he was talking over me when he said this, but he starts laughing, saying, oh yeah, our government would do something bad to us. And I said, well, what about black men in Tuskegee with the syphilis and letting them die of it and spread it to thousands and excruciating deaths over decades? And he laughed, and I believe what he said, because then I countered and I said, you're making fun of Tuskegee? And he said, oh yeah, can't have the black people eating the, I think he said fried chicken, because that makes them sterile. And I said, did you just say what I thought you said? That's not funny. Tuskegee isn't funny. I mean, I know he said that. It was just so amazing. I want to hear the tape of it, though, before I'm absolutely, totally, 100% sure that he just said that with so much pleasure. It's like Michael Savage making fun of autistic children and saying they need to basically be slapped around, their spoiled brats. No, Michael, when I drive by a bus stop or I'm sitting in a restaurant or I'm at a movie theater or I'm at church or on the street and I see children drooling who are emaciated because they don't like to eat food, who are completely out of their poor little minds, who are just completely fried. I mean, there's no doubt that the mercury, even the federal government's had to admit now in their own studies, that the mercury brain damage, and we had internal CDC documents from 2000 in a secret meeting where they said, how do we cover up millions of brain damaged children? I mean, they know what mercury does. They know once it enters the bloodstream what it does. So your stomach and your intestines are designed. Now, there's mercury in fish and mercury in food. Most of it binds in with the food, and the body has a way of shedding most of it, but it can still build up and cause a problem. But when it's injected into little bodies, at hundreds of times, what, the flu shot has 500 times the safe level for a child, several thousand times for a baby because of their weight. We have all the federal studies where if you take more than 3 flu shots, your chance of Alzheimer's more than doubles. And there's people out there who've taken them 15 years in a row. No wonder we got people 25, 30, 35 who've got Alzheimer's. And, you know, they're not faking it. They're going into wheelchairs. They're going into gurneys. They're dying. But not at 80-something years old like Ronald Reagan. At 30, 35, 40. You know, we know what we're talking about here. I said, what was it, a year ago when the spinach was killing hundreds of people, and then the tomatoes killed hundreds, and then peppers were sickening thousands, killing hundreds dying. I said, these companies that have been identified, I went and Googled their names and found out on their own company websites, we wrote stories about it, that they grew most of their produce in Mexico. Well, they used the local sewage untreated from the local towns to put on those tomatoes and to put on those peppers, and now I have Associated Press today, also came out last week, and the feds, after a year-long cover-up, are having to apologize and are about to be sued by U.S. companies that shut down. Oh, yeah, they knew day one it was feces from Mexico, but you couldn't say that because that's anti-Mexican. No, it has nothing to do with Mexicans. It is a third-world country where they put untreated sewage on the produce. Yeah, they don't pay for fertilizer. Again, undercutting U.S. farmers. They don't have environmental laws, workers' comp, any of it. Slave labor, basically. I'm not blaming the poor people down there trying to work. And they also defecate in the fields. And it will probably come out that they it's destroying themselves, but it's kind of like when people riot in the inner city and burn down their own neighborhood, that they're doing a lot of this on purpose. Now I was on record a year ago saying it was the farm workers both spraying raw sewage, I mean right out of the till, right out of the toilets. It goes right into those honey ponds, as they're called. And then it is sprayed right on to the crops. Okay, that's part of it. But they're also going to the bathroom in the fields. They're not provided toilet paper. They wipe their hands on the dirt. And some of it's probably on purpose. But you know what? Somebody on Fox News, they'll just laugh and call it a conspiracy theory. But I was so amazed by the fried chicken comment. Oh, yeah, the chicken places, they're sterilizing the blacks. Just a sick, cynical, disgusting joke, laughing at the Tuskegee experiment. It's unbelievable. Because these guys think they're immune. All the people that serve this corrupt system. I was reading Alexander Solzhenitsyn's writings last night. I'd read Gulag Archipelago more than a decade ago, but I was reading some of his writings, and he talked about the Soviets, the establishment, how they were self-assured, how they had this disgusting attitude. That's what they have here. They have a term for it. They call it a you-know-what eating grin.
Ira Haynes.
And I don't understand this self-satisfied,
him drunken Ira Haynes,
angry, but smiley-faced at the same time, elitist attitude that establishment liberals, establishment conservatives have, yuppies, middle-class people have. When they're the ones that are most under attack, they think they're part of the establishment, and they just giggle and laugh and make jokes about it. I was on the show, and I said, Cy Hirsch has reported, most respected living investigative journalist, that Dick Cheney wanted to create fake Iranian boats that looked identical and have Navy SEALs on board, heavily armed, have a shootout with our larger ships, and the guy just laughed at that. I mean, I wish that wasn't true, but it is. I want this to stop. But we can't let it get us depressed. And I'm talking to myself now when I say that, and everybody else. This is the pickle we're in. We have the facts we have to deal with, and we have to face them. And we have to make the best of the situation we're in and try to educate as many people that do care to try to raise the alarm and turn things around. But societies go crazy throughout history. They become decadent. They become evil. It's a cycle. And no one has ever had it better than Americans the last 50 years. And we've been such a great nation. We've had a lot of problems, but overall, we've been an amazing country. We've been really good, hardworking people, full of courage, inventive, self-reliant. But we have become decadent slobs, myself included. I mean, I think about how hardworking my grandfathers were and how, you know, hearing about their fathers, how hardworking they were and how strong and dedicated the women were, and how strong families were, and how family came first, and people knew to not trust the government, and they knew that family came first, and they were just good people. And if they heard about something like a Tuskegee experiment, they would get very upset about it. That's why the government had to keep it secret. But today, so much of this stuff, there's things going on that dwarf the Tuskegee experiment by the 10th power, and to come to realization that it is a fact that all of this experimentation and poisoning of the population's going on. I mean, you tell people that there are thousands of government reports and university reports, thousands admitting that if you use a cell phone for an hour a day for 10 years, that's what most of the studies show, some studies are for 5 years, some are even longer, that you have a massive increase in brain tumors, in rare brain tumors. It's an absolute fact that they give you brain tumors. Are people stopping using their cell phones? I know I have. I only use my cell phone to get messages off of it. And I got all this news here to cover. All these issues I want to go over. Huge news here in front of me right now. And I just get flabbergasted by the fact that it upsets me, and it's real for me. I consciously worry about it. And then so many other people, even in our movement, don't take this as serious as it is. We all need an attitude adjustment. I mean, look at this article. I said I'm going to take your calls. We will in the next segment. But this story is off the charts huge. And every day on Infowars.net. I mean, 7 days a week, Steve's writing articles, each one more bombshell than the other. And they get attention, but not the attention they deserve. This is life and death type stuff. I remember Steve, 2 years ago, broke. And it did get a lot of attention. It did get picked up by some mainstream outlets, but didn't get the attention it needed. That the government created fake videos, morphed the heads of two of the hijackers, Muhammad Adda and one other, and stuck their manufactured video into a made-for-TV movie, and then used that in a trial against people supposedly involved with 9/11. Then I have the Miami Herald and McClatchy newspapers and the Seattle Times all reporting last week. We hardly even covered it here. That's how conditioned we've gotten to just incredible news going by the wayside. We even drop the ball every day. We're not perfect. Bin Laden's number two man, his bodyguard, his right-hand man, was picked up by special forces, sent to Guantanamo, and released in 1 week. But we'll tell you about this big report when we get back and go to your calls. There's a new one out on Infowars.net. Law professor has dropped a bombshell. We'll be right back. Law professor, counterterrorism czar, told me there is going to be an I-911 and an I-Patriot Act, an Internet 911 and an Internet Patriot Act. Steve, great job on this article, but you probably need to spell out Internet. I know you're giving his actual quote, but people aren't going to understand that. Law professor, counterterrorism czar, told me there's going to be an Internet 9/11 and a Internet Patriot Act. The feds are going to attack the Internet themselves is another way to try to bring it down. Stanford law professor Lawrence Lessig, we're going to get him on, details government plans to overhaul and restrict the Internet. Now, that's all stated by Internet 2, the consortium of government, universities, and 50 corporations. They publicly stated all. You can go to the Internet 2's website and go read their corporate minutes and press releases going back 7 years, everything. Absolute fact, they're going to steal and destroy and cut up the web right in front of you. This is incredible. Amazing revelations have emerged concerning already existing government plans to overhaul the way the Internet functions in order to apply much greater restrictions and control over the web. Lawrence Lessig, a respected law professor at Stanford University, told an audience at this year's Fortune's Brainstorm Tech Conference in Half Moon Bay, California. That's the elite of the elite IT meeting. That there's going to be an Internet 9/11 event, which will act as a catalyst for radical reworking of the law pertaining to the Internet. Now, I would just add that for 5 years, they have had a program, according to MIT, larger than the Manhattan Project, in secret, but now leaked earlier this year, to, quote, wage war on the Internet and shut it down by the Pentagon. And, of course, they're going to claim that Al-Qaeda did it. And it'll come right out that Al-Qaeda didn't, but to a public who doesn't know who the vice president is, doesn't know the three branches of government. When you watch jaywalking on Jay Leno and the public doesn't even know what city they're in, that's not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. They're totally mesmerized and dumbed down. Lessig also revealed that he had learned during a dinner with the former government counterterrorism czar Richard Clark that there is already in existence a cyber equivalent of the Patriot Act, Patriot Act, or Internet Patriot Act, if you will, and that the Justice Department is waiting for a cyber terrorism event in order to implement its provisions, admitting they're going to use it as a pretext, regardless of who's behind it. There's going to be an iInternet event, which doesn't necessarily mean Al-Qaeda attack. It means an event where the instability of, or the insecurity of the Internet becomes manifest during a malicious event, which then inspires the government into a response. This is him speaking in front of the top computer tech and owners. You've got to remember that after 9/11, the government drew up the Patriot Act within 20 days and passed it. Actually, sir, they wrote it years before. The Patriot Act is huge, and I remember someone asking a Justice Department official, how did they write such a large statute so quickly? And, of course, the answer was that it had been sitting in the drawers of the Justice Department for the last 20 years waiting for the event where they could pull it out. So he states the disinfo first and then states the facts after. Of course, the Patriot Act is filled with all sorts of insanity about changing the way civil rights are protected or not protected in this instance. So I was having dinner with Richard Clark, and I asked him if there is an equivalent, if there's an iPatriot Act just sitting, waiting for some substantial event and an excuse to radically change the way the Internet looks. And he added, of course there is. Watch Lessig reveal the details at 4:20 into the following video. Do me a favor, go to Infowars.net. I just got the story 20 minutes ago. Go there, John, and pull that. We'll play that at the end of the show for those that don't have Internet. Shortwave and AM and FM folks can listen to it. Lessig is the founder of Stanford Law School's Center for Internet and Society. He is a founding board member of Creative Commons and is a board member of the Electronic Frontier Foundation and the Software Freedom Law Center. He is best known as a proponent of reduced legal restrictions on copyright, trademark, and radio frequency spectrum, particularly in technological applications. These are clearly not the ravings of some paranoid cyber geek. The Patriot Act, as well as its lesser-known follow-up Domestic Security Enhancement Act of 2003, also known as Patriot Act II, have been universally decried by civil libertarians and constitutional scholars from across the political spectrum. They have stripped basic rights and handed what have been described by even the most moderate critics as dictatorial control over to the president and the federal government. Many believe that the legislation was a response to the attacks of 9/11, but the reality was the Patriot Act was prepared way in advance of 9/11, and it sat dormant awaiting an event to justify its implementation. And then it goes into how they're going to shut the web down that way there. Folks, they're hitting us from every single angle. Here's an example of what the feds do. In 1996, they shipped millions of strawberries and raspberries and other berries for the federal school lunch program. I say millions of berries. It didn't say. It said millions of servings. So, however many berries that is. They shipped that out to the school lunch program from Mexico, covered with three types of hepatitis and a bunch of other deadly pathogens. And thousands of children got hepatitis from it. And it was reported in the major papers a few times. Then the Fed said, oh, we'll just start radiating and then freezing all of the produce in the school lunch program. And then that gave the seed money to the military-industrial complex companies who then put in huge irradiation centers in California, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, New York, Illinois, and a bunch of other key distribution centers. So what the government does is they, through seed funding, not just on the issue of irradiation, they always, with regulation, create the original seed money to put the irradiation centers into place. Then Tyson Chicken and others start shipping out, you know, rotten chicken. They pay off politicians so that, and that came out in the news, so that they, and pay off inspectors so that they can ship this trash out. But people get sick. People die. So their answer is, we'll just start spraying live viruses. In Latin, it translates out to bacteria-eating virus. They're in the flange family. Millions of times, you know, their argument was, well, these viruses are naturally in the gut, naturally in the intestines and stomach, upper and lower intestine, large, small intestine, and stomach, the gut, as it's known. And they said, well, this is naturally in your gut, yes, but this is millions of times what is in the gut. And they grow the viruses in large vats where other bacteria and viruses mutate. And where there are other, and this has come out in the news, dangerous viruses and bacteria present, that is then sprayed on your meat. And then, suddenly we go from 1 in 100,000 people having Crohn's type diseases to 1 in 1,000, and the numbers start shooting up. And it's a cocktail of other things. And they don't care, they just misdiagnose it, give the doctors a handbook, they don't know what's happening. Everybody sees the intestinal problem shooting up, then studies start coming out showing that there's all these genetically engineered viruses and bacteria in your gut now. They don't care. See how that works? But that isn't enough for them. It's not enough to spray the viruses on the meat, because the viruses only get on the surface of the chicken and the cold cuts and the beef. They're spraying on everything that isn't prime, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to eat these viruses. You got to buy prime beef, or you've got to go buy it from a local rancher. And if we would change our behavior and start doing that, it would help the ranchers, help the local communities. They'd have more money to spend locally, but instead, the Cattlemen's Association was taken over a decade ago by the packers, and so that's all being shut down. And so they radiate the food that destroys most of its value. They spray it with viruses. And the public just laughs. I mean, I've been on talk shows, and I mention, you know, well, what do you think is most dangerous we're facing? And I say, well, I think cross-species, hybrid, human-cow, human-spider, human-goat, human-pig for transplant, that's allowing zoological viruses and other life forms to mutate within the host, and it's already escaping and causing problems. And they just laugh and say, there are no human-pig creatures. And I just say, well, it's all over the news. Please Google it. And they go, oh, the internet, you can say whatever you want there. See, it's just total willful denial. And it's the same thing. A year ago, spinach comes out. A bunch of people die from it. Thousands get sick. It shuts down a bunch of spinach farms and lettuce farms in the U.S., and we talk to the experts who can't get in the media. We go and look at the companies that are the ones that have had the recalls, but the media wouldn't put two and two together, and they're growing the stuff in Mexico. And then I already knew that in Mexico they use raw sewage on the plants, on the crops. And so we make the statement that it's coming out of Mexico, and websites then attack me saying I'm a racist and don't like Mexicans. No, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if you're white or if you're Hispanic or if you're black or if you're Asian. or if you're from the South Pacific Islands, do you want to eat stuff that's going to make you sick for a week or maybe kill you? I don't know. But see, that isn't where it ends. It doesn't just end there. It destroyed many farms in the country. Because for a year, no one ate spinach. And still, people look down on spinach. And still, a lot of restaurants won't place spinach. And then it was cabbage. And then it was tomatoes. And then it was... And then now, they just admit in Bloomberg and AP, but never on the news, what were the average dumbbells. You know, people think they're intellectual. They watch the news. Most of the public doesn't even watch the news or read a newspaper. You know, there's layers of propaganda. While throwing a few rotten tomatoes that U.S. regulators might help ease their economic pain, growers involved in the latest salmonella food epidemic would prefer cash for their trouble. After weeks of implicating domestic tomatoes in an outbreak of salmonella, federal food safety sleuths have shifted the spotlight to jalapenos and the serrano peppers grown in Mexico. They were found to be related more than 1,300 infections, and about 1 out of 10 gets reported, so it's more than 10,000, and at least 43 states and the District of Columbia in Canada. And it goes on to say that it destroyed farmers in Texas, Florida, California, all over the country, that they've lost more than $100 million in sales just from the peppers. Well, see, the government couldn't blame their, quote, free trade NAFTA GATT and the feces-covered stuff out of Mexico. In fact, they got labeling laws where they won't even tell you where this stuff comes from. All right, I said I'd take calls. It's just another example. And so now they're going to hire more federal regulators and more people to harass local farms, local ranches, but then allow them to ship in all this infected beef with diseases and hormones and all this stuff. It just never ends. Everything that, you know, Midas had a golden touch. Well, everything the New World Order touches turns into something else. It's what goes down the toilet bowl. Everything they touch turns to you-know-what, and I'm tired of it. And the public needs to get out of denial about all this. I mean, everyone knew day one who is in or around agriculture that it was the sewage in Mexico. The local cities pump the sewage right out to trucks, and in some cases in pipes, right out to the big fields. Or the people no better than slaves, poor, hardworking, decent people. And they go out there, and they eat this stuff in Mexico. They die in Mexico. What about them? See? Oh, it's good enough for the Mexicans to eat the salmonella and the hepatitis. And I guess it's good enough for the Americans to eat it. And the government is just going to cover it up. No, I don't like Mexicans eating their own crap. And I don't like Americans eating it. And it needs to stop. We need to demand higher standards. I'm all for what Hawaii and others do with this dillo dirt. The Germans have been doing it for 500 years. That's why it's called a honeypot. They put their sewage into big agricultural pots, but they can't do it anymore because of the drugs and the stuff that's in the main sewage systems. And then you let it cook for 4 or 5 months. Then they dump it out and roll it into soil, and it's clean as a whistle because the bacteria have burned it all out. They've eaten everything in there, and then they've died. And it's deader than a hammer, but full of nutrients. Hey, they don't do that in Mexico. They run sewage that is hours out of the human body, filled with every pathogen you can imagine right out there, and that's what you eat. That's why they'll tell you when you travel to Mexico. Remember when I was first traveling there 27, 28 years ago as a child? You don't eat the salad. You don't eat it. You know what you eat? You eat rice that's been boiled, and you eat fried fish. You eat eggs, huevos, because you're not used to it. It's covered in microbes. And everybody around me, every time I would go to college, go with friends a couple times down to Cancun or someplace for spring break, yeah, I did that. Even in Cancun, I would watch all the dumb gringos. I'd say, don't eat that salad. Anything with water on it, anything grown in a field, it's got to be boiled. And I'd watch them all a day later vomiting. They'd spend their vacation in the hotel room with diarrhea. I'd spend it out snorkeling on the beach, drinking pina coladas and hanging out with the girls. I'm not that smart. I'm going into a country that's third world. I'm not going to drink the tap water because I don't want liver flukes. You know, tens of thousands of Americans have liver flukes now. Does the government screen you for it, tell you about it? No. All right. I said I'd go to your calls. We're going to come back, go directly to them. We got Mike Rivero coming up and a lot more. Stay with us. To all of you. Adam in New York, thanks for holding her on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
You know, it seems like we're always fighting the New World Order. We're always on the defensive. You know, they'll blow up the World Trade Center, and then we have to try and convince everyone that they're lying or they did it. They do, you know, say do different things, and we always have to. I think it's time, you know, we take even more of an offensive. I think We Are Change has been great at challenging people, but what happens is, just like what you were talking earlier, you experienced, they'll just laugh or say something, and it doesn't force them into answering. And so I had a couple of thoughts on how to really take the offensive to the New World Order.
Some of it
requires a little money, but if you put like a full-page ad was put in something like USA Today and said some of the things you're saying, you've always talked about Halliburton DynaCord. If you were to say that they were involved with child sex rings and that weren't true, you'd be sued. You know?
Well, wait a minute. I mean, it's been in the Chicago Tribune. More and more I realize that paper prints a lot of truth. It's been in a bunch of major publications. It's been in congressional hearings. That's the thing.
Sure, but what I'm offering or suggesting is also a challenge, just like the income tax challenge. You know, certain people like Sherry, I'm forgetting her last name right now, who is an IRS agent.
Peel Jackson.
Yeah, she started from one of those challenges in a paper saying, okay, let me check this out. So imagine also if you offered, okay, if this is not true, $100,000. We all know it's true.
Here's the deal. Here's my problem with that, and I think if rich people out there want to do that, it's a great idea. Do it. Here's the problem. A, I don't have the money for that. Nowhere near it. B, USA Today, all of them have been caught exaggerating their circulation. Even with it plunging, they're exaggerating that. And I don't think it's worth $100,000 to have an ad on page 3. I mean, do you realize that only a few hundred thousand people probably see that? Whereas if we, the listeners, make want to say my videos go viral on something like YouTube, we can get 1 million people to watch it. I mean, there are better holes in the enemy defenses. That's why they're just getting ready to shut the web down. And, folks, I'm not kidding. The web, you know, will not be there in 12 months if we don't turn this around. In fact, in many areas, it's already not there. The British government shutting us down. Or something's buying something. It's insane, which is fine. What we can't afford is podcasting. And I keep meaning, but we're trying to get more IT people, move offices, upgrade. You know, it takes time. You know, imagining something's one thing, doing it's another. To have free podcast on the website where you can come into an interface, record it, and then use our site as a platform. But then the provocateurs will flood in and go on my site and slander people to get us sued. So then people will scream censorship if we don't let somebody, you know, just tell blatant lies about someone. So, you know, but I mean, that's the type of stuff we're trying to build a backbone. We're trying to do everything we can. But what are your other solutions?
Not really solutions, just thoughts. And I think everything being done is excellent. Something like also, you know, someone like a Bill O'Reilly, psychologically to get to him is to have him constantly hammered as a coward, that he's, say, afraid to debate you on certain issues. And that's, to me, that's a way to get in there because...
I hear you. We got to jump.
Yeah. government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Continuing with your calls, and Mike Rivero joins us. A lot more has come out on the anthrax case and the cover-up. We'll also get into a host of other issues with him. Then Alan Watt for 2 hours today on this Tuesday, the 5th of August, 2008. Let's go to Elliot in Ohio. Elliot, you're on the air.
Yeah, Alex, I was watching one of your videos where you were getting your driver's license and you didn't want to take the thumb scan print. And you were speaking about an Army War College report of 1968. And I tried researching that, and with all this internet censorship going about, like, I spent a good hour and a half looking for the Army War College report of 1968. Couldn't find it. Went on Army War College, their own site.
You're going to have to refresh my... Well, a lot of the old stuff, most stuff pre-99 isn't on the web. You've got to sometimes go to the library itself, and you've got to go to an institutional big library, like a major university library or Library of Congress or one of its branches. I'm trying to think here, what specifically did it entail? Because there's a lot of Army War College reports.
Well, you were saying, like, when you were being taped, like, that the Army War College in 1968 planned...
Oh, yes, like, I remember now. Yes, the Army War College commissioned, I forget how many millions of dollars, for a inkless fingerprint reader and said this would be used worldwide for an identifier and did studies on it at that time, yes. And I've got a copy of it somewhere. You know, I mean, that protest you saw was 11 years ago. I made that film 11 years ago. America Destroyed by Design, so I don't have that in front of me, and it's in the depths of my memory.
Well, I guess I'll just go to my library.
But, I mean, there's no doubt. I said in that 11-year-old film, they're going to be in tanning salons, they're going to be to get driver's license, they're going to be at grocery stores, they're going to force you onto this. And I said, first they make you have all these IDs, then they allow all that to be stolen, then there's identity theft, then they say you've got to have biometrics tied into the card to confirm it, and now that's what they want at the airports with the self-check-in. So the proof is in the pudding. I mean, I hold up the executive order and give its number about urine and blood samples they want to take when you get a driver's license. Were you able to find that? Sir?
I was just about to research, and I fell asleep. I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, a lot of times...
I actually...
Go ahead.
I was about to say, like, I was just going to the bank on Friday, you know, just to cash the check. I didn't have an account with them. And they made me do the little thumb, you know, you ink your thumb, and then you place it on a check. Now, I went to a cash and check, one of those quick cash and checks placed on my 18th birthday. All the banks were closed, long story short. And I did the exact same thing, ink my thumb. They scan the checks for you. They don't scan your thumb, but they scan the check.
Yeah,
they end up, with the thumb.
Let me explain something, sir. In every case I've seen, I've been all over the country, if you look under that ink pad that for 10 years has, quote, been on, you know, given to them free, when you turn it over, it's a consortium of biometric companies, and it will give you the biometric consortium name. You can then go to their website, and they admit they are preparing you to thumbprint. That's why, did you notice that the cover of the ink pad was a big red sticker with an image of a thumbprint?
Yeah.
That is a Pavlovian device so that when you really thumb scan over the red in the future, you would have been acclimated to seeing the red dot. But then when you really go into the federal driver's license facility, that's what they are, as I said in 97, now public, real ID, federal, you will notice it is a red dot. See, it's animal training. It's dog training, sir.
Were you able to get your license without thumb scanning?
No.
No?
Yep, I appreciate your call. And you will not be able to buy or sell without it. That is the official plan. And if they don't like you, they will turn your thumbprint off, your face scan off. And we're only a few years away from that. And if you don't like it, a SWAT team will come and murder you. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Mike Rivero is our guest for the next hour. Then we have Alan Watt for 2 hours. We're going to open phones. I know we already have callers holding. We're going to get to you. We covered this Sunday with Mike Rivero, but more has come out now, and he's been one of the leading experts, researchers, looking at the mysterious anthrax attacks that, when you look at them, aren't that mysterious, of 2001. So, Mike, let's look at the basic history of what happened, recap who the main suspects are, the FBI's history, the fact that there is a media blackout, but if you dig deep enough, they admit that their patsy did die in the mental institution. Let's break down what's really happening with this anthrax. Then I want to get into the massive concerted intensification, the cocktail of different attacks we see on the free Internet that are happening right now. Mike Rivero.
Well, obviously, you know, this story goes all the way back to just after 9/11, when perfectly timed to encourage Congress to pass the USA Patriot Act, a series of letters started arriving at the Congress and at certain media outlets containing organized anthrax. Now, the letters and envelopes themselves were written in a manner to point the finger of blame at Arab Muslims, but it very quickly became apparent that the weaponized anthrax inside was not something that could have been whipped up in a cave someplace in the Middle East, and eventually it tracked back to U.S. government laboratory as the source of the weaponized anthrax. Now, there have been three attempts to frame individuals for this crime. The first one was an Egyptian scientist working at Fort Detrick. I'm blanking on his name. Dr. Ayad Assam, I think, is the name, and I could have butchered it. he was basically an anonymous letter hit the FBI that said, this is the guy who did it. They investigated him. Nothing came of it. Then they focused on Stephen Hatfill, and they turned it into a media circus. The FBI was desperate to prove that they had solved the case, and they just kept pounding and pounding and pounding on Stephen Hatfill. Eventually, the case fell apart. Hatfill sued. He won a multimillion-dollar settlement, or they agreed to an out-of-court multimillion-dollar settlement for Hatfill to just go away and not be a pain anymore. And at that point, the FBI appears to have focused on Bruce Ivins. And Bruce Ivins, at the point where he was going to go into court and, according to his attorneys, be able to prove his innocence, supposedly had committed suicide. And the timing, of course, is absolutely perfect, because now the FBI is screaming he was the guy, and they're trying to proclaim his guilt everywhere. This man does not get a fair trial. He does not get a chance to cross-examine the witnesses against him. And they're trying to say he was it, and we can shut the investigation down. This is, you know, obviously been one of the greatest embarrassments in FBI history, that they've been unable or unwilling, emphasis on the latter, to solve this case. Now, the really interesting part about it, there continues to be more and more information coming out about how this case against Bruce Ivins is entirely circumstantial. Even the Wall Street Journal came out with an article saying Bruce Ivins was not it. The biggest hole in the case is they cannot place Ivins in Princeton, New Jersey, on the day when the anthrax letters were emailed from a particular postal box. Nevertheless, we're continuing to see the media smear Bruce Ivins. He was completely crazy. There is one witness and one witness only that is the focus of all of these allegations of mental instability, and that is a woman who is referred to in the press as his therapist, but in point of fact, she's just a substance abuse counselor. And she herself has got her own history with substance abuse. And the issue is that she's not really a therapist, but everyone is saying this is the woman who knows that this guy was crazy. But there's a couple of problems with this story. If Bruce Ivins was really showing all these symptoms of severe psychosis and homicidal tendency going back to his college years, how did he ever get a security clearance to be working with weapons of mass destruction? Secondarily, even though he was forcibly committed to a mental institution, that mental institution apparently decided he was perfectly okay because he was scheduled to be released, at which point this so-called therapist, Gene Dooley, filed more court papers seeking a protective order against Bruce Ivins. Now, as of this moment, this Jean Dooley is still in seclusion, according to her spokesman. She is, you know, concerned for her safety and hiding out. Well, one has to wonder why, if the man that she was supposedly afraid of is now dead, what is it she is hiding from? The one that has surfaced just today is apparently there are rumors being spread all over the media and also on the internet that Bruce Ivins may have had a close association with that mailbox in Princeton where the anthrax letters were mailed from, because he may have had a rented post office box in the immediate vicinity through which porn was being sent to him. Of course, this is very obviously another attempt to impugn his character and say, oh, yes, he's a porn freak, and therefore he must be guilty. And the instant I read that story, the first thing that I thought of was the post office box that Lee Harvey Oswald supposedly rented under the name A. Heidel, to which the mail order rifle was sent. And at the time in Texas, you could walk into a gun store and buy a gun without an ID, without leaving a trace, completely no trail of evidence whatsoever. And at the time, a lot of people suspected the reason the post office box was rented and the rifle sent there was to create an evidentiary trail in order to frame Oswald for the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So frankly, given how easy it is to get porn on the internet for free, the fact that somebody set up this postal box and paid to have porn sent there begins to smell like it's another part of the frame-up to attempt to create a circumstantial case that Bruce Ivins is the anthrax killer. Meanwhile, of course, the one suspect who was actually caught going into that lab where the anthrax used in the letters was kept remains uninvestigated and free and still working in the U.S. defense establishment.
Keep going.
Well, that individual is Dr. Philip Zack. Now, the Hartford Courant reported that documents the FBI had shown them showed that Dr. Philip Zack had been caught on the Fort Detrick security systems going into the lab where the anthrax used in the letters was stored without proper authorization and after he had lost his job over a racially motivated attack on an Egyptian coworker. Interestingly enough, the same Egyptian scientist who was the first target of an attempted frame-up regarding the anthrax letters. So, you know, I mean, anybody looking at this has to tell you that the guy actually caught going in where the weapon was stored has to be your first suspect. And yet, amazingly enough, the FBI has steered a wide path around him and instead focused on trying to blame the Egyptian, then Stephen Hatfill, and now Bruce Ivins, and they are rushing as fast as they can to close this investigation down and declare Ivins the guilty party. Frankly, Ivins is starting to look like this generation's version of Bruno Richard Hauptmann, who was the man who was framed and then executed for the murder of the Lindbergh baby.
My biggest reason, not just all the incredible evidence you just listed there, Mike, but my biggest reason for saying this is suspicious, let me list it, is the fact that all of this precipitated, all of this happened within weeks of Stephen Hatfield winning this multi-million-dollar lawsuit and it coming out that the FBI tried to frame him. A media firestorm started building, saying, who really did this? It was being looked at again that it was super weaponized and that it was Bush's enemies that had it mailed to them. Then you look at the fact that the media is burying in literally last night, because I went on Fox Radio to debate somebody, about an hour before I scanned through mainstream news and probably scanned 50 articles. They would all say he died, he died. Well, normally they'd say where he died. And then in a few articles and in the original little local stories, it said he got a hold of acetaminophen and, you know, took a whole bunch of Tylenol and killed himself in the mental ward in a lockdown area. But so that would normally in basic journalism be in all the stories, but uniformly it wasn't. I had to dig and dig and dig to confirm what you said the night before on my Sunday show, which I hadn't even known about myself. You had to dig, but I was just confirming what you said. I believed you, but I had to look for like an hour is the point to find one article from right when it happened in a local paper saying, yeah, he died there, and they came and picked him up and took him to the morgue. So just incredible spin there. And then you add the backstory of the White House on the Cipro 4 weeks before the anthrax letters are sent, You add that it's the enemies of the White House having it mailed to them, the cover-up, the FBI lying and saying that it wasn't weaponized, that anybody could make this basically in a bucket in their basement. I mean, ridiculous stuff like that. And then them trying to persecute all these patsies. And then, again, the cherry on top or the bow on the package here is that all of this precipitates right after their latest patsy falls through.
Yeah, it definitely was a rush job because once the Hatfield case fell apart, attention, of course, refocused back on Dr. Philip Zack. And the question everybody was asking is, you've got a suspect here who was caught at effectively the scene of the crime. Why aren't you investigating? I mean, the pressure was building for them to go back and look at Dr. Zack. And then all of a sudden, conveniently, Bruce Ivins supposedly commits suicide with Tylenol codeine, and they declare him guilty, and they shut the investigation down as fast as they can. I mean, they couldn't look more guilty if they tried.
You exposed Vince Foster. You called it a murder right after it happened. What are you saying this is?
This looks more and more like a murder in order to have a dead body who couldn't fight back the way Stephen Hatfield did. And you'll notice they waited until he died to go public with all of this smear stuff because now they're safe from being contradicted. They're safe from being sued. Nobody has standing to sue on behalf of Bruce Ivins in court. And he doesn't get his day before a jury to prove his innocence. He doesn't get to cross-examine.
And, of course, I bet the surveillance tapes, we were able to subpoena them. I bet the cameras were turned off that day.
Probably.
Just never ends. Well, they've murdered him, and that's how they operate. Let's come back and get into a whole host of other issues, Mike Rivero. In fact, it'll be a roulette here. I don't know what you think's most important, but I want to get your take on whatever you think's most important when we get back on the other side. Stay with us. Of WhatReallyHappened.com is our guest. You know, Mike, I try to not create division. I don't like getting into bashing black people when black supremacists say, kill all the whiteys, they're the devil. But I'm forced to cover it. I don't like the fact that there's the whole Reconquer movement in Mexico funded by the Ford Foundation, the federal government, to break up the U.S. because I know when I cover it, it's misconstrued that I don't like Latinos. There's a whole crowd out there that just obsesses on the Catholics and the Catholic Church. I don't debate the Catholic Church is calling for a new world order and pushing it. I'm not even, don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not Catholic. And they're crazy and say lies about me. And it hurts because we've had countless guests on talking about what the Catholic Church is up to. Doesn't matter. And I don't like bashing Israel because it's a hot-button issue. It's divisive. I don't hate Jews. I know it's a diverse group of people, both racially and politically, as well as culturally. But I was on Fox News Radio yesterday, and I just said we should investigate Lieutenant Colonel Philip Zack because he broke in there when he was fired and there where the anthrax was. And they just laughed at me and said, you don't like Jews, basically. And I really think that argument's running out of gas because I kept trying to say, well, wait a minute. I mean, I'm just covering who is connected to this, and you're the one bringing up Jews. I guess he does happen to be Jewish and, you know, has connections to the Israelis, but, you know, I talk about LBJ staging the Gulf of Tonkin. I'm not saying Americans are bad or Texans are bad. I'm saying LBJ's bad. And then I get to be bashed by the people who are white supremacists and do hate Jews, period. You know, because they're the only ones that are right, and it is Jews that are the cause of everything. It's just very sick. I mean, do you get what I'm getting at, Mike, dealing with this case?
a lot of that already, and I've had a lot of people say the same thing to me, that I'm only pushing on Philip Zach because he's Jewish, although now there are people trying to say that he's actually Catholic. And my response to them is, I don't care. He is the likely suspect. We should be looking at him regardless of what his, you know, racial background is. Whatever it is, he obviously does not like Egyptians, because he was part of this whole camel club thing that was sending, you know, plastic toy camels with adult marital aids taped to them to this doctor, this Egyptian gentleman. And, you know, that's hateful behavior regardless of what your background is. So, you know, he needs to be looked at, and it has nothing to do with whether or not he's Jewish or whether or not he's Catholic or whether he's not, he's you know, whatever. You know, he is the guy that was caught on the security system going into the lab where the anthrax was kept. That is the most obvious suspect to be looking at, and yet the FBI is very obviously cutting a very wide path around him. They're trying to protect him. They're trying to keep the investigation away from him. This whole creation of the term a person of interest was a swindle to get the media to focus on Stephen Hatfill and get him to not look at Dr. Philip Zach. Because obviously, if Dr. Zach is the author of the anthrax letters and he comes under scrutiny, they're going to start looking at his connections, whereby was there a means of communication where either he told the White House 4 weeks ahead of time, I'm going to do this, so you better start taking CPRO, or whether the White House started taking CPRO and called Dr. Zach and said, we need a special favor from you. Okay? There is something there.
Well, listen, when I was on Fox, John Gibson's producer was the host yesterday, and he was just vicious towards me. They are really scared of this.
Yeah, they have reason to be. They have reason to be, because, I mean, certainly looking at the online alternative media, nobody is buying this latest story coming from the government. The government's credibility is absolutely zero, and they're just making the situation worse by trying to hard sell another lie to us. Nobody's buying it.
Well, now we're coming to that crisis in confidence, and over the last few years I keep saying they're losing confidence, they're being discredited, we're winning. But now, I mean, it is getting to the point where they could come out and say the sky was blue and people wouldn't believe it. I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah, you know, they're rapidly approaching the point where they're not going to be able to function any longer. When Americans stop believing that the government is being truthful completely, when they realize it's not just an occasional lie, but a lie all the time, they're going to start going back and looking at all the people who've been saying, including a federal judge, who are saying the income tax isn't legal.
Well, all I can say is Mike and I aren't happy about this, but we're just telling you the facts. The government is completely criminal, okay? It is a criminal enterprise. We'll be right back. I know most listeners have checked into our claims over the years. You've seen the tyranny for yourselves all over the world. But I want to burn into those that make jokes and laugh. But this is real. This is happening. You know, we posted a story about folks that had a Ron Paul sign in their yard. The police came with the military, local National Guard, forced their way in and arrested them. Beat them up. Bunch of other examples of similar things happening. A husband and wife in Las Vegas were pulled over for having a Ron Paul and Infowars.com sticker, and the cops told them, it's because you got these stickers, we pulled you over. And then I noticed in the dig comments on the story on Infowars.net, there were people on there seriously saying, and you can go to their website, they have their own little dig site, saying, this is good. We need to stop these Ron Paul and Alex Jones people. They could be terrorists. And then they say on their own dig sites, yeah, we're military, and then you follow their handle, their MySpace, and they really believe it. Now, that's a minority of the military, but they think tyranny is good. They think that the government's the good guys, and so they're going to do whatever the government says. They're on a power trip. They're just like liberals who associated their personal power with Bill Clinton. Their identity with Bill Clinton, they didn't care what he did, they would defend it. Well, it's the same thing with about, I don't know, 20% of the country, depending on the polls you look at, that will go along with anything. And that's enough for them to carry out their tyranny. Now, we have more than 20% of the country that knows they're being lied to. And it doesn't take a majority to win a fight in the info war or physically. It only takes an irate minority, as Thomas Jefferson said. Mike Rivero, your comments on that.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, right now the majority of Americans do know we were lied to about Saddam's nuclear bombs. And, you know, once you accept that, that the government is willing to lie to the people about something that serious to trick us into a war of conquest, then it's time to look back at everything you've ever been taught with a very skeptical eye and say, well, you know, is it entirely possible that we've been lied to about a bunch of other stuff? And, you know, the answer is obviously, yeah. There's nothing that we can assume is true that we've ever been taught by the state-sponsored schools or by the government or even by the corporate media, which has been carrying the water for all this stuff. We're seeing the government once again try and lie us into a war in Iran by trying to claim that Iran is some kind of a deadly threat to the United States, which is, of course, totally and completely absurd.
Well, let's go to Iran in a moment, but I want to go back to the USS Liberty. It's come out, yes. The Gulf of Tonkin, declassified, mainstream news, staged. I was on this show yesterday. The guy was laughing, saying that basically wasn't true. And now the Chicago Tribune and others have reported the NSA intercepts that the government knew Israel premeditatedly attacked the ship to try to blame it on Egypt, just as all the officers and admirals that we interviewed over the years said. They were right. They didn't lie. And it was the truth. But now you don't hear anything from the debunkers about that, do you, Mike?
No, you don't. They basically, their goal is to win their point of view, not to find the facts and truth, which is why, you know, they'll come back and argue about only those things they know in on. And when you say, well, what about this over here? And they say, oh, that's nonsense. That's irrelevant. Let's stay over here on the part that I know where I can win. And, you know, back when, you know, we had a lot of forums going on the internet, it was a very common trick. You'd see somebody come on and they'd argue the government's case and you beat them down with the facts. Then they'd go away and they'd sign up under a whole new name just to start the argument all over again. But you'd recognize them because they'd use the same phrases and the same typos. And their goal was just to wear you down and grind up your time.
And back
and
then,
you had to learn how to avoid those people so you could go out and talk to the people who are really ready to listen.
And back then we would say, I bet it's the government, because the way it was so concerted. Now for years it's admitted that they have huge office buildings, even private corporations do, all over the country, all over the world. And now CENTCOM and the military and all these big PR firms they've hired, they are paying people $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 salaries. It's come out in Congress 6 years ago. And do they stop? Congress says this is illegal. This fake news, this fake blogging, they say, we don't care, we're going to intensify it. And, I mean, it's incredible, folks. That is not a good government. That is not George Bush or Bill Clinton. They are just front men. It is the military-industrial complex owned by the private banks trying to have a corporate takeover of this country. And, folks, it's going to hurt all of us, even you idiots serving it.
Well, keep in mind, that's your money they're spending to lie to you. That's the most insulting thing about it all. There is an implied contract. When the government takes taxes from you, it is to provide for the general welfare of the country, to keep the roads working, to keep the bridges repaired, to keep the levees repaired, to keep our infrastructure together, to take care of the country. The government is instead taking that tax money and, besides lining their own pockets with it, giving it to Israel and spending it on these wars, they're spending your tax money to keep you fooled, to lie to you, to hire people to go out and pretend to be ordinary citizens to argue against you. They will fund documentaries. You know, we've seen History Channel lately has turned into the propaganda channel. It's just one show after the other. When they're not doing UFOs, they're talking about how great the government was in all these things. They're debunking 9/11. They're attacking the bloggers. And it's all paid for with your tax money. Now, you know, we pride ourselves on being a nation where the government rules with the consent of the governed. I do not consent to be lied to. I certainly do not consent to have my tax money spent for the government to lie to me. That is an illegal use of my money. Congress should have stopped it. They didn't. But then Congress should have stopped this president long ago, and they didn't. They are part of the problem. So when we talk about impeaching Bush, we got to talk about impeaching the entire Congress with him.
Mike, I want to go to Rod and Jerry, Brian, David, and others. But before we do that, briefly, there is a huge array of different tactics that the establishment, the private corporations, heading it up with governments, are using to shut down, filter, the web, the British government, and all the major transportation facilities is blocking your website, whatreallyhappened.com. I don't know if you're aware of that. Prisonplanet.com, universities, corporations, the major filter companies that claim you're downloading software to, you know, for safe surfing. They're blocking out even mainline alternative sites. They are moving ahead with Internet 2. Now, the two big IT systems, the two big phone companies in Canada announced 2 weeks ago, as you know, that they are going to, quote, only let you visit a few thousand sites. It's all happening. And now, up on Infowars.net, we have top Stanford professor, law professor, saying that the terrorism czar, naming names, and he said this in front of a huge media conference, said that they are planning to basically shut the internet down. I mean, it's happening now, Mike. What do we do about this?
Well, you know, you need to look back at the old Soviet Union, because they tried to do the same thing with the samizdat, which was a network of fax machines that people were using to spread information around about what the government was doing wrong. And I know it sounds like this real dire plan, and I have no doubt they're going to try it, but you know something? They've been trying to control the internet in China for decades now, and the really good computer users are always able to figure ways around it. People want the truth, and when they know it's out there, they're not going to just quit looking for it just because the internet stops working for a moment. They'll go back to FidoNet, they'll go to packet radio, they'll go to fax machines. They know they're being lied to. Just turning off the internet is not going to make that go away.
Well, I agree. The genie's out of the bottle, but we do need the net in its current form for true viral spread of our info. There's no doubt. Your website, my websites, would be 20, 50 times bigger right now. We would have probably already won the war if they hadn't have blocked us with this cocktail of different suppression tactics.
Well, we're still winning the war. These suppression tactics are not working. We're still winning the war.
I just want the listeners to appreciate whatreallyhappened.com, Infowars.com. I mean, we go through living hell. Our streams are down right now. You have to go to the Genesis streams to listen. I mean, it is an ongoing, complete and total battle around here. Frankly, we don't even have the funds. I'm trying to save the 200-plus thou we raised to start the TV deal. We're doing that right now. And I'm so busy covering news, I haven't even plugged my books and videos and what we carry on Infowars.com. I need your support, folks. And I need you to spread the word about the radio show and the websites and what we do. Because while the web is still freer than it will be in the near future, the message here is we better use this weapon now while we still have it as it's slipping out of our hands. Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think people need to start looking at developing their own lines of communication because, yes, the government is going to try and turn the internet into another glorified TV network where a few large corporations own it all and use it to just sell products to you. But, you know, again, once the people know they've been lied to, they're going to want to find out what the truth is. They're going to want to know what their government has been doing. If there had been an internet in 1930s Germany, Hitler never would have been able to pull off World War II.
Absolutely. And I want to say one more thing about Israel, and we're going to the calls, and it's this. It is not people like Mike Rivero and Alex Jones that hate Israel. We hate what Israel's doing. We hate what our own government's doing. They're out of control. We don't hate the British people. We hate what their government's doing. And for all the people out there in the U.S., in Israel, in the U.K., really the true axis of evil, it is your governments that are making the world hate you and blame you individually. My parents just, they travel to Europe about once a year, and the Europeans really do hate us now. And people say, oh, well, screw them. We don't care. Well, you know what, folks? Our name has been destroyed here. And this has been done in our names. And I'm just so upset about everything that's happening. And this is so real, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you think things are bad now. We are on the knife's edge, about to descend into far worse tyranny, a hot tyranny, not a cold war against freedom, but a hot war against freedom. And to all of the people that think it's macho and cool to support the New World Order, and I mean, I feel sorry for them, Mike, because they have, I mean, I just played a news clip yesterday about how the vaccines, they have a general in there disguising his voice, admitting it's killing a bunch of the troops, and that they give them the shots, and then they just basically go back home and die. Those that survive lose all their weight or on kidney dialysis. My point here is that what's your angle on the eugenics program? Because we know they're putting sodium fluoride in the water. We know there's the mercury in the vaccines. We know they created HIV. That's all been declassified. I mean, how do you get the public to even face the magnitude of the evil?
There is a severe problem with denial. What I have found at my own website over the years is, along with digging out the true stories, you have to become a judge of what people are ready to accept and what they're not ready to accept. And you basically want to stay away from the stories people are not ready to accept just yet. My wife has this wonderful way of saying it. You can't shove somebody across a bridge to the other side, but you can stand on the other side and gently beckon them across. And that's kind of the approach that we take here. And over the years, it does work. You start by giving people something they can accept as having happened, then you say, okay, well, once you accept this, then the next logical step is XYZ. Right now, everybody knows we were lied to about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. You start with that. Once you start with that and the government's credibility is in question, it makes it a lot easier to approach people and say, well, how do you know the government is telling the truth when they tell you this? How do you know they're not lying when they deny doing that?
Well,
and the bottom line is they don't.
What's happening with me is, I've always done what I do for love of decency and honor and my family and the good guys winning. But I always had hate of the New World Order. And now I see what pathetic, wicked, greedy little creatures they are and how pathetic and dumb their minions are. I'm really losing my hate of them, and it's more of a sorrow. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, you know, hate can burn itself out after a while. And some of these individuals, particularly the useful idiots, they really are more deserving of pity than anything else. But, you know, in our society, hate kind of gets a bad rap. We're constantly getting, shouldn't hate this, shouldn't hate that, shouldn't hate this. But, you know, sometimes hate is useful, and if that were not true, our government wouldn't be working so hard to get us to hate Arab Muslims right now. So it is okay to hate people who do hateful things. It is okay to hate institutions.
Oh, I'm not saying. I mean, I hate the CPS. I hate police brutality. I hate all that. It's not that I think even hating bad is a bad thing. I'm saying that I just realize how pathetic they are, and I want to fight them more than ever. It's just that I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just so disgusting. I mean, I can't believe how dumb they are is what I'm saying. I can't believe useful idiots' ignorance. I just cannot believe how obvious all this is.
Well, the problem with the useful idiots, and we hit this point when we went across that line for torture, and I wrote an article about it back then. Once we went across that line into torturing people, anybody who didn't stand up then and say this is wrong, they became trapped, because now they are loyal supporters of the dictator because they can't stand to look in a mirror at what they themselves have become.
That's right. And now, and of course, dictators know that. Psychopaths know that. They twist you. They corrupt you. Once you sign on to torturing, then it's okay to torture children. Then it's okay to torture Americans. And you're right. They have committed to evil. They have signed on, said they're the good guys, and now they've got to, rather than turn back, buy into anything.
That's absolutely right. That's where fanatics come from. They are hopelessly enslaved mentally. They can never go back to what they were before, because then they would have to confront what they themselves have become. And they are the most dangerous people in service to a dictator. And, you know, it will end, unfortunately, for them, because they can't admit that they were wrong.
You think it's going to end up with lots of dead people, or do you think it's going to just fall apart, like you say, the Soviet Union?
I would hope that the U.S. government is going to collapse the way that the Soviet Union did, because that will minimize the amount of violence and upset and dead bodies. Unfortunately, it looks like we're heading up on a period where there are going to be some dead bodies. And, you know, what's that saying they have down in Texas? He needed killing. We do have, unfortunately, a few of those in our government.
God help us, folks. This is the real world. Like I keep saying, this is not a game, not a joke. There are a lot of idiots on the other side that are all macho, rearing for a fight. I am not rearing for a fight. Let me just tell you, this is something you're not going to like. Because once the gloves come off, once the veneer of civilization peels away, God help us all. God help us all. We had to go down. We had to go down the cesspit hole. Let's go ahead and talk to Rob in Oregon. Thanks for holding here on the air with Mike Rivero.
Hey, Alex. Hey, you're a good man. There's no doubt about it. And I just want to let you know that I can definitely appreciate and identify with your frustration with the ignorance and apathy there is in this country. But don't lose your faith, because you are turning things around, and there are things that are happening. that because of you and what you, and the work that you've done is great. I wanted to say one thing about this Amtrak thing. When this news story first broke, the first thing that dawned on me to begin with is I wondered why this guy didn't commit suicide with a couple of shotgun blasts to the back of his head to begin with. And then when it came out that he OD'd or took an overdose of Tylenol, I'm thinking, well, here's a guy that's a biochemist to begin with. He probably has access to every drug on the face of the planet anyway in his status of existence, but yet here it is to OD himself on Tylenol. And then the next day I turn around and hear that this guy was in a mental institution, in a government-controlled mental institution. I just about fell off my chair. I mean, it's so obvious what's going on here, but yet business as usual, it seems like.
That's because there's no checks and balances on the criminals, and they're just running wild. Good points. Mike Rivera?
Yeah, absolutely. He could have killed himself in a wild variety of ways, but it's interesting this Jean Dooley is a substance abuse counselor, so she would have known what the lethal dose of Tylenol codeine would have been.
Oh, God. All right, more calls straight ahead with Mike Rivera, Jerry, Brian, David Perry, Alan, and others. Stay with us. Minutes in the next hour, finish up with some of your calls. I do want to challenge all of you to go low tech, but also high tech. Realize that time is of the essence, that every one of you needs to be in the fight. Go on message boards, tell them about Infowars.com, whatreallyhappened.com. Explain them about web censorship. Take advantage of the time we've got as they try to shut the web down. We're going to fight to try to keep it alive and to keep it in its true form, but we need to prepare for the worst, ladies and gentlemen. At the same time, there's Low Tech. Get the high-quality DVDs of Endgame, Terror Storm, Loose Change Final Cut, Truth Rising, all discounted at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Nothing can stop you from getting a Truth Rising or an Endgame and getting a DVD burner and making 100 copies. 100 copies in 2-3 months. You know, make a copy once a day, twice a day. Takes 5 minutes. Give it to somebody and say, hey, tell me what you think of this wild film. Or, you know, have your neighbors over for a barbecue and pop in something like Truth Rising and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of this stuff? You don't even have to go out on a limb. That's how we're going to change things. And don't say, oh, it's too big. Oh, it's impossible. We've already discredited Congress down to a 9% approval rating. People aren't laughing at us when we talk about a new world order anymore. The people are finally ready to hear the truth. And instead of talking yourself blue in the face, give them a film or send them a podcast of this show. Let's go back to your phone calls here on the GCN radio network. Next up here is Jerry in PA. You're on the air with Mike Rivera.
Yes. First of all, Mr. Jones, I'd like to say my hat's off to you. I think you stand in a gap. I also think you're a prophet. I used to work for a sterilization company that moved to Monterey here recently. Worked on a lot of stuff for Plum Island and for Dietrich. Was shoved through there probably in the last year more than I've seen in the 27 years that I worked there. Wanted to bounce a couple things off you to see what your thoughts are. If they were just to create martial law, I really don't think the public would stand for it. There'd be major upheaval. Personally, I think that they might try something more like an epidemic. Okay.
Oh, I think that's in the cards.
A lot of things that I've seen through the years, and things started fitting together. You know, you see the little plastic coffins and everything. You have to contain it. The CDC, I'm sure there's some involvement there.
And they could use that to grandstand and act like the saviors and scare the public back into loving government. Mike Rivero, most of the people, most of the experts we talk to, the political scientists, the sociologists, say that a biological release is probably one of the next moves by the New World Order. Your take on what the caller's saying?
Yeah, absolutely, because they're only going to be able to get away with it once they think. Because of the distrust in the American population. And I think this is one of the reasons we're constantly hearing anthrax, 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 anthrax in the media to pre-sell that this is a scary material. But the advantage of using anthrax to stage a phony terror attack is there is no secondary communicability. When you spray somebody with anthrax, they will get sick, but they don't give it to other people around them.
Jerry, stay there. I'm going to hold you over. I want to ask you questions about Plum Island. You know, they're planning to move that sucker to the middle of San Antonio, Texas.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There is a reason we go out on the AM and FM dial, global shortwave, WWCR, 6 hours a day, satellite. That's because the internet is becoming something that's less and less reliable unless you're on Internet 2. And our internet streams have been down for about 2 hours. They are back up now for the higher quality audio streams and the restreaming. Everybody listening on the GCNlive.com streams can now move back over to the Infowars.com streams that are there on the site, because later I'm going to do some behind the scenes, you know, where we skip some of the breaks on my streams with Alan Watt that's coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to have open phones for him as well. Going back to Jerry in PA, I want to cram in some other calls. Jerry, you're saying they're really gearing up and you say pushing through, doing a lot more, I guess, zoological stuff that can spread between animals and humans. We know they gave us the West Nile from there outside New York in the ocean at that island. We know they gave us the weaponized Lyme's disease, another little friendly thing the government gave us. I mean, give us some inside tidbits. You say you've worked in and around bioweapons facilities.
I actually worked for, I don't know if I'm allowed to, name names of companies.
Sure, tell us.
I worked for Steris Corporation, which bought the old American Sterilizer Company that moved to Monterey. They really originally didn't want to buy us. They wanted to buy a service company. They ramped up for a $20 million cut for the federal government to under federal excise tax. They said even if we worked for minimum wage that they wouldn't stay with no benefits. They moved to Monterey, ramped up their effort. But we did probably in the last year there probably more sterilization equipment for Plum Island and Fort Detrick than I ever seen in the 27 years that I was there. I watched the spread of West Nile come across western New York into Pennsylvania, birds dropping over dead all over the neighborhoods. I'm right on a lake. They told people if you see dead birds, call them up, and they'll come in and analyze them in the whole nine yards. But they have to have a delivery system, okay?
That was mosquitoes. We heard about mosquito cages
sure.
got put out by the government right before that happened.
Sure. And it's widespread here. Ask yourself, what would be a better way to get people to submit, to go get a vaccine or what have you? Maybe this thing with the troops is an experiment to see if they can get a vaccine to vaccinate them. You know, what more way could you get people to bend a knee whenever you're sick, you want help, to go and seek help?
No, it's perfect to make them the saviors. They love killing us while we clutch at them like they're our mommies held to their breast. But really, rattlesnake venom comes out of their black breast. Mike Rivero, comments on what he's saying or any questions for him?
Well, my comment before was, I'm in agreement with what we were saying before the break. A biological release of some kind is probably going to be the means by which the government is going to try one more time to scare us all into agreeing with whatever their agenda really is. And we've certainly been seeing a ramp up of American biological weapons laboratories over the last several years, necessitating, obviously, all of this additional equipment being built.
Under BioShield, under the program, $6 billion. And notice how they're building them all in major urban areas.
Yeah, and that is really the scary thing, because all, you know, once you get an accident in a major urban area, you know, it's a real problem. Again, anthrax itself has zero secondary communicability, but a lot of these other things they're working with could potentially result in a runaway contagion.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Jerry, and then finish up, Mike, when we get back. Jerry, I mean, do guys that work in and around this ask, why are they suddenly breaking every convention on bioweapons handling and moving them into cities?
Well, you know, we all questioned ourselves that. I don't know if you people know just exactly what level 4 and level 5 stuff is.
Tell you what, stay there. I want to get Mike's take on this. But I know, but I don't think the listeners know. This is hyper-weaponized stuff with close to 100% kills. And we'll be right back. And don't worry, folks. Don't worry. All you that serve the government, they're going to kill you. They get a chance. Your mama government, going to kill her baby. You're going to get what you want.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I want to get to some other callers, but I want Jerry to be able to finish up with what he was talking about. Yeah, tell us about, I know about level 4. There's rumored to be these level 5 underground. That's where they do a lot of the chimera cross species type genetic creations, which they've now admitted to a lot of those, but they won't. I don't know anything. I mean, I know they have level 5, but that's so classified, we know nothing. I know level 4 has minefields, you know, containment facilities, guys with machine guns guarding it. Tell us about that, Jerry.
Well, level 4 and below is below ground, concrete rooms. Rooms are sealed with concrete. The sterilization equipment that goes in them are actually sealed onto the wall, so you have a clean side and a dirty side. Anybody that goes to work there is watched constantly, followed to the hotels, what have you. I find it hard to believe anybody could get in and out of there without being seen. As far as Plum Island is concerned, the place is probably shot, okay? When I say shot, I'll give you an example. For instance, a chicken pox virus. If you took a small beaker of chicken pox virus and you opened it up in a room with 40 people standing in a room, it's so volatile, just by opening the beaker, within 20 minutes, everybody in the room would be infected. Now, that's just a chicken pox virus. God only knows what kind of stuff they're playing with. I'm sure they ain't going to tell us.
I remember 5 years ago when the head of the big Australian university released the design diagram to simply make a animal pox that kills 99%.
Yeah.
And he did it with the mouse pox.
Yeah.
Mike Rivero, do you think that's a cover story? I mean, for later releasing it? I mean, why would a government put out the design specifications to easily make something that kills 99% of the mammals it comes in contact with?
Well, I think that's kind of like putting out the blueprint for a nuclear warhead. Most of us know how one is put together, but if you can't get the tools and materials,
right,
it doesn't really matter. You know, this gets back to the fact, it's like this claim that Bruce Ivins or whoever made up this anthrax in a bucket in their garage. It's just complete nonsense. It takes millions of dollars worth of equipment and very tightly controlled feedstock supplies to manufacture these things. So I'm sure that if they're planning to do a biological false flag attack, they're going to have to somehow create this idea that whatever is going to be used, and I would say it's probably going to be anthrax, is easier to make, you know, and doesn't require a lab, you know, so that they can pick up this image of somebody in Iran just whipped this stuff up in their backyard and decided to shower it on America over the weekend.
Don't you think they prime us, though, in the media?
Oh, yeah, there's always a priming
thing. I mean, they've been talking about bird flu for how long? Nobody really knows anything great about it. You know, you get little bits and pieces of it. Like I said, it's going to have a delivery system. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to look like it's an epidemic that came into the country somehow, and the government's going to be our savior. We're going to go all get inoculated of some sort, and who knows if they're putting chips on us or sign agreements. Or,
and let's say, well, we know they've been drilling for forced inoculation, but the police
we know that
refused to go along with that 5 years ago. But I mean, here's a hypothetical, and I'm not saying they're going to do this, but just think about the you couldn't kill our whole military with a foreign army, but if you gave them a delayed shot that was going to kill them in 6 months, you could inoculate all four branches of the armed service, and then they'd all die in 6 months.
And you have to have a containment system. You have to have a containment system. What do you think they got Tupperware coffins for? I mean, who knows? They could come kick in my door any minute. I work for another major company right now to try to lease space from them, and the building was so contaminated they wouldn't even lease it from them. They told them to bulldoze in place. But I could really give you an earful on some other stuff on the Patriot Act, how that was shoved down our throats there, too, but that could be another time. But I want to say, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and keep on doing what you're doing, Alex. You won't believe how much your information is getting out there. I work for a major manufacturer to have over 4,000 employees, and I'm really surprised at how many people are educated and getting educated, and particularly some of the younger generation. I'm 50 years old, and I hope to see the downfall of this craziness in my lifetime.
That's what it is. It's the craziness. Call me back sometime, Jerry. Brian in New York, you're on the air with Mike Rivero. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, Alex and Mike.
Yes.
Yes. Hi, thanks for all your hard work, guys. I love your show, Alex. Thanks for everything. Hey, I'm the guy who confronted Gary Hart on his letter to Iran there.
Good job. You're in Truth Rising, yes.
That's right. That's right. Thanks for putting it in the film. I love your film, by the way. It's awesome.
No, thank you for doing it.
Yes. I actually had a question about your video contest, which I think is an excellent idea that's going to generate a lot of awareness to the censorship.
Yes.
You had mentioned that there's a special prize for the video with the most hits by Monday morning.
Yeah, there's two different sets of there's two different waves of contests. There is a $2,000 prize. I've now fleshed out the actual numbers last night. A $2,000 prize for whoever makes a video about internet censorship, tying in PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com that are being censored by Sunday. So there's not much time. That's why this has got to be done in the next few days. Whoever gets the most hits by Sunday night, and that means whoever emails it, we've got contact points up there on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com about this, and then a $1,000 prize, which will be announced Monday, for whoever makes the best trailer for Truth Rising. So, and then on the 19th of this month, 14 days from now, or 15 days from now, we are going to have a $5,000 prize for the best video about internet censorship and exposing it.
Oh, okay. So that so the censorship video contest is for Monday as well.
There's two of them.
Right.
Because okay, that's the craziness that came off the top of my head yesterday when I blew up over all the censorship.
I love it, Alex, and I look forward to participating, actually. I'm a video editor myself.
Okay, well, all the details are up on InfoWars.com right now. I'm waiting for my web guy to create a new email, like, contest at InfoWars.com, but there's some contacts up there now, and as they come in, we'll be posting them, and we all win, because then it gets the truth out about internet censorship. Thank you for the call. I want to go to David and Perry and Alan and Matthew and Brent, but I'm going to have to get to all of you once Alan Watt is on with us, but we'll get to you because we've got to let Mike Rivero go here in a minute. Mike, anything else important you want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about, before we were talking about, the population, of America trying to deal with all that's going on. And I know that our government controls people by keeping them afraid. And a lot of people are afraid, not necessarily of the fake enemies the government is waving at us, but they're afraid of the government itself. But, when you get angry, anger has a way of killing fear. And I was watching Network the other night where the Howard Beale character gets up and he says, I don't know how we're going to fix everything, but the first step is you got to get angry about it. And I think we're at that stage right now where people need to get angry over what the government is doing. And when they get angry, they'll realize they stop feeling afraid. And once they stop feeling afraid, then they're free to go out and do what needs to be done to get this country back on track.
I agree with you. It's always great to have your once-a-month visit with us, but I ended up having you on Sunday and today, so we really appreciate you spending time with us. Mike Rivero from WhatReallyHappened.com. We'll talk to you soon. By the way, I like the site redesign.
Thanks an awful lot. Thanks for having me on your show.
You bet. Take care. We're going to go now for the balance, an hour and 45 minutes roughly, with Alan Watt, another wonderful researcher. And I want to talk to Alan today. I want to get into some of their mechanisms, their control, their programming with him. He's really an expert on that. But I also want to talk to him about solutions and how we somehow get out of this mesmerized, hypnotized. Because the public, their brainwave show, and Alan can talk about this, are hypnotized. When you watch TV, the first time you watch it, there's different studies that show vaguely different numbers, but they're 45 to 50 minutes of watching television with the flicker rate. The first time you watch it, it takes close to an hour to push you into a dreamlike lower state of consciousness. I mean, your brainwaves change. The next time, it's about 10 minutes. The next time, it's about 3 minutes. And after you've been habitualized, you shift into a dream state, lower level of consciousness, a unconscious, purely subconscious brain operation, no interface between the cerebral cortex and the rest of the brain, or the two sides of the brain, the two different computers that hook together, and you go into this mode of being unconscious. And that's why the public seems like they're sleepwalking from job to job, from chore to chore. That's why months go by and it seems like an hour. That's why life is becoming meaningless. And I've been in, well, I took my wife out on her birthday to a restaurant, and I saw multiple families with 5- and 10-year-old children between those ages. And the families weren't talking. The adults were sitting there eating their steaks and their food, texting, and on the cell phone in a nice restaurant. The children all had their own little private video games or DVD players, and you could see the light, you know, flashing in their faces. And we're already being inserted into the matrix, as the Pentagon said in 2000 in that Army War College report about how they were going to insert us into a matrix. That was a declassified report from the 80s, which the film The Matrix is based on. The official policy of the U.S. military, the Army, is to, by 2025, to insert us into pods. I'm going to get Alan Watt to talk about that first. Now, that sounds crazy. Okay, I don't talk about astronauts saying aliens are real and about to land when it's in Associated Press, because that's disinfo. But what I do talk about is stuff far crazier. And I want to get Alan Watt's take on what I'm talking about. How do you, well, I've seen studies out that people are many times more suggestible than they were just 30 years ago. That's why hypnotists now, 50 years ago, couldn't hypnotize maybe 1 out of 10 people on the street. Now, 65% they can hypnotize. Because they're already hypnotized. They're already zombies, folks. You see, we're freaking out why people aren't waking up. Because they're zombies. We'll be right back. Alan Watt is our guest. By the way, if a tree fell in the forest and nobody heard it fall, did it make a sound? Like when we had Ron Paul on yesterday, out of the gates at the start of the show, our other big guest here, we randomly, throughout the four-hour radio show every day, go live on the internet for PrisonPlanet.tv members with the video feed. We also then record that and post it within an hour to 2 hours after the show, depending on how long it takes to encode, for members to go watch at their leisure. Then you great guys and gals chop it up, put it on YouTube and everywhere else, do great condensing down the info. We really appreciate it. Of course, there's also the free internet streams in higher quality at InfoWars.com. And so we can catch up on some of the time today, getting Alan Watt on a bit late. I'm going to skip some of the breaks for InfoWars.com listeners. Those streams are separate from GCN Live. You'll need to move over to the InfoWars streams to hear some of the behind the scenes. Alan, you were on hold before we went to that break where I brought up how the public, when they watch television, it's admitted. They taught this in RTF. Go into a dream state or a hypnotized state, and that now studies show, and we've read these on air, and you can go over them. I know you're an expert on this, that the public is more suggestible because of television, and a lot of people are staying in this unconscious, glazed-over mode. What are we dealing with there, and how did the scientific dictatorship implement this so cunningly?
We've got to go back into the histories of the publications of some of the members of this world movement, like Huxley and others, Lord Bertrand Russell, who talked about the whole notion of peace and how they defined peace, and that was to eliminate all conflict throughout the world. And that meant right down to male and female conflict, which meant that the separation of the family unit, the disintegration of the family unit even, was essential for world peace. But they also said that individualism had to be destroyed, and what that meant was they would have to target specific parts of the human brain, and those parts which gave you your self-preservation abilities, your perceptions, the same things that animals have, wild animals, that keeps them alive. And people like Arthur Koestler, who was a propagandist and a member of MI5, who wrote lots of novels and nonfiction books along this particular line, wrote one book called The Ghost in the Machine about the elimination of this part of the brain. And he mentioned how departments within the United Nations were working on methods to lobotomize this part of the brain, and they tried different methods, including chemical lobotomization, viral attack through inoculation, and various other means. Now, they have done this, I am pretty certain. They've been pretty well successful with most people, and it was to be augmented again with the kind of technology that Brzezinski was talking about, technotronic era, in his book Between Two Ages, where he talks about techniques used, scientific techniques, electronic devices, which would, and he meant from the basic units of television onwards up to literal ELF waves from towers affecting people's minds and eventually directing them. He said eventually people won't know where their thoughts come from or where their opinions will come from. They'll be unable to think for themselves. They'll expect the media to do their reasoning for them.
And by the way, just a quick interruption to back you up. Then, 6 years ago, the Baltimore Sun reported that DARPA, for over a decade then, that's now almost 16 years ago, has, quote, put up towers in major cities and is testing calming us.
Yeah.
So, see, just an incredible run-for-the-hills revelation. They're already bombarding us. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that ties in with a report that came out of Sweden from the Swedish newspaper, the Finnish newspapers, Finland, where a scientist there had used a standing cell phone tower, one of the big, tall ones you see in the countryside, and they were monitoring the brain frequencies of passers-by in a certain area, a radius of a few miles, and eventually they could actually identify each individual. And without moving anything on that tower, they could target any individual within 3 feet.
And this is all mainstream news, but people listening are laughing right now. Folks, it's 2008. This is Buck Rogers.
Oh, it's here. It's here. And you go through the airports now, they have camming lights, and they're also using this technology in the airports. They have blue, greenish lighting, and it's called calmatives. They're using calmative technology to calm the
And that
passengers.
Was in AP 3 weeks ago. In fact, Chertoff had a big demonstration of it. And they're using passive MRI, which from 100 feet away is scanning the brain, which they're now putting on the cell towers, as you mentioned. Everything Alan Watts says is documented. I have separately read it in mainstream news, everything he just said. Hidden in plain view. We'll come back, Alan, and I want you to... You've got the total floor here. In fact, I'm gonna just sit back and listen. I want to break down how they're doing this. But more importantly, why am I immune? Why are you immune? This stuff only enrages me. There is a scientific dictatorship. They've written hundreds of textbooks bragging how they're doing it all to us, brain damaging us with mercury, injecting us with different cancer viruses that are hormonally triggered, age triggered to kill you. And the cancer rates are going straight up. Every other disease, degenerative type of affliction is intensifying. And it's being done scientifically by people playing God on huge power trips. And it's real. And it's happening now. So I was getting into how the public is mesmerized, how more and more they are in a matrix-like condition. Their brainwaves are different. And then now it's intensifying. I'm not bashing video games. I know big video game designers, a lot of them are big fans of the show. I've been stuck in a bunch of video games, you know, where the video games, you get to the final level of, you know, some of the most popular games, and they open the safe up, and it's my videos in the safe, the ultimate answer. And then, I mean, just all sorts of craziness. But the point is, the video games, something about the added controlling the joystick with the not moving and the intense focus gets you into a lower than dream state, which is a unnatural state of near-death narcosis, and actually causes endorphins to flow. That's why these kids love 10, 15, 20 hours. I remember I had video games when I was a teenager. They were more primitive, but I remember a few Saturdays, I never got that heavy into them. 2-3 hours would go by like that, and I'd be sitting there in a daze, but like in heaven, totally focused, going through all the levels. And later I saw the scientific reports that I was in a artificially oxygen-starved narcosis. But that said, going back to Alan Watt, Alan, lay it out for us.
Yeah, these techniques were, they copied a lot of this actually from the yogis of India. They studied them. They studied some of the top yogis in the 1800s and early 1900s and did all the measurements in their body and so on. They're intrigued by the guys who could go into this almost trance-like states, death-like states, with very, very shallow breathing, and they measured the oxygen content in their bloodstreams and how they survived, et cetera. But they also were measuring their brain patterns. And what they found, too, was that people in such brain pattern states could be very easily influenced and directed with outside information being pumped into them. You're easily led, you might say. Things which seem absurd to you in a fully conscious state, you'll take it at face value and accept it without thinking. And we know they were using these techniques because the military-industrial complex were using these games long before the public had access to internet or video games for their military training. And they found the same thing, that the people who were trained in the more advanced games to kill on sight would actually do it in combat in the battlefield. And what they found, too, when they did immediate tests on these particular soldiers who would kill, they found that their breathing rate was much shallower, too, just like as though they were in the video game. So they're going into the same response mode in the battlefield as they were on the video game. They were trained to do that. So it has that effect on you. We also know that the Japanese are leading the field in this area. And we do remember that some of the earlier games that came out were putting out thousands of children talking television.
Pokemon!
Yeah, and they all went into epileptic seizures. Well documented, and we get that published in mainstream media, and then the public go and buy the game.
Let's explain again. Every time it would show in what they admitted was a test, tens of thousands of children with collapse convulsing. The problem was is they knocked their teeth out or busted their, you know, their eyes. They got hurt, and so they quit doing it. But in a test, anytime they want, they can flick the switch and make you fall down on the ground convulsing.
Mm-hmm. And what they found, too, with these games, you see, this isn't just the games. It's the parts of the brain that they want to target to alter behavior, mood, serotonin levels, etc. And it's the temporal lobe they were aiming for. The temporal lobe is very, very important if you want to control people. And the types of epilepsy that they were inducing was temporal lobe epilepsy. And where they go into a fugue state. And now people who have epilepsy will often get the initial fugue coming on them, where things seem unreal to them. They're moving in a surrealistic world.
It's like a hallucination, or some people call them the quizzles, where yes. Where they're in a sleepwalking state.
Mm-hmm. And that happens before they go into the actual grand mal seizure. And they can have a fugue state again of complete amnesia when they come out of it. So this is the same kind of thing that they're inducing by going for areas of the temporal lobe. Now, it's interesting, too, that they've got everyone addicted to cell phones, which also affect the temporal lobe. It's doing similar things there. People are mesmerized on these phones. They'll stand there and talk in street corners for hours and hours. Hours go by.
And I'm going to stop you again just to back you up. I have seen, literally, I saw two or three today, thousands of university and government studies. And I remember one about 8 years ago because I had a buddy who was always on the cell phone, and I noticed his behavior was changing. He was always on it for no reason, just jabbering. And before, he'd never been on the telephone. You couldn't keep him on it. And I remember reading that it raises the brain up to 3 degrees in temperature, but any cell phone call after 5 minutes, even the ones that have this lower emission, you get a 1 degree increase in brain temperature. And then it went on to say that it is addictive and created opiate-like responses in the double-blind study. So I'm just backing up. Mm-hmm. What you're saying, again, is mainstream news.
Mm-hmm. So there's nothing surprising to me about any of this. This is an agenda. People like Brzezinski, who was right in there with the NSA, published some of this stuff in his own books to do with controlling whole populations. And he said populations, not just individuals, and that this technology would be used. And prior to him in the 1950s, you find Lord Bertrand Russell, who also worked for MI5 and 6, publishing the same thing in his Impact of Science on Society book, where he mentioned that the techniques would be used that would bring whole populations to the conclusions and then have no idea that it was even being done to them. And he said eventually we'll be able to convince absolutely anyone of anything.
Now I want to move forward from there historically, but let me digress. I wouldn't say you and I and many others are immune, but with any disease, with any program, with any, you know, there's always immune roaches to certain poisons. There's always plants that are immune. There's always people throughout history that are immune or resistant to things. Why, going back about 8-9 years ago, I pretty much quit watching TV because it would irritate me. It would anger me. I knew stuff was going on there. I mean, why, just with the social programming, why did Alan Watt, why are Alex Jones and millions of others, why are we at least resistant?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the precursor that set up the whole field for this to work for the elite was the inoculations. They were the initial precursors that set up the brain structure by attacking the brain. Now, in all weaponry, they go for the biggest kill for the buck, basically. In other words, as many people as possible, but not everyone. That's how all weapons generally work. And we find that there are people with different physiologies. And people who tend to have allergies, etc., can also divert toxins away from the brain that would normally be uptaken by the brain, and it'd be diverted elsewhere. So they end up having sometimes problems, stomach, gastric problems, lower bowel problems, stuff like that, where this stuff has been drawn to and has settled in, but it did not go to the brain. And I've found that with a lot of people who are really awake and have been most of their lives. That's, I try to find the common denominators in them when I talk to them, and that is one thing that a lot of them have, are these what seem simple allergies, but pretty persistent allergies, but their brains are quite clear. But we also possibly can have slightly different wave patterns that at present are not under these microwave and ELF type frequencies. They might get around to that eventually.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the first big insult before the mass programming begins at birth with the shots. When we were young, we didn't get as many shots or no shots. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that as a correlating factor. People in the country, I mean, here's an example. I've had a lot of medical doctors on about this. One of them, Dr. Eisenstein, has one of the biggest practices in Illinois. I mean, out of over 100,000 Amish in just a 3-county area, none of them have autism. None of them have any neurological problems. And then he did a study and looked at other studies around the country in Pennsylvania and other places where you have Amish. They don't have it. It isn't there. But it's the same thing with Dr. Ewan Cameron and the mind control. When they would grab these children in these declassified tests, they would first for 6 months, as you know, but for the listeners, electroshock them to wipe things out, to create that original insult as a place to then start building the new identity or the new wavelength.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They did use a lot of children in the MKUltra tests as well. It wasn't just adults, even though the movie, the CBC, covered it, actually whitewashed more than they showed. And they were using a lot of children. They wiped out their memory to try to build a completely brand new personality that would be robot-like and very obedient. and put them out into society and use them as spies, etc.
So it's the vaccines are acting as the chemical lobotomy or as the electroshock?
No, there's no doubt about it. As I said, Kessler talked about these tests being done back in the 50s and 60s and under the auspices of the United Nations. And the different groups who are doing, some of them, like the Soviets, were doing direct lobotomies, physical, mechanical lobotomies. They're also doing that in the United States under the guys who worked for the eugenics programs in the psychiatric institutions. And they were doing prefrontal lobotomies to thousands of troops that came back from to the U.S. after World War II and Korea.
Have you ever seen the black and white films of them laughing and just jabbing an ice pick in the troop's head and going and laughing?
That's what they did.
Laughing to the students, going, watch this, as the guy's chained down awake, and they just go, ha 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 ha. I mean, it's the most bloodthirsty stuff you've ever seen with an ice pick.
That's right. And even had traveling, they called them the mobile doctor who did the lobotomies on behalf of the U.S. government. And he did it out of the back of his van. This was high science, as they called it, and all they were doing was destroying the frontal cortex. Now, that's where your behavior is altered, right in the frontal cortex. That's a definite behavior alteration right there. And you do become much more suggestible, very easily managed by authorities, because you have no confidence in your own decision-making powers afterwards.
Well, all of this is really just a scientific codification of total war against our own species by aberrant psychopaths directing human development. And then it isn't just that it's cold-blooded and they want the power. This is a literal wonderland to carry out all the horrors that are horrible to us but that are beautiful to them.
Absolutely. The public have no idea that war was declared upon them long ago. Total war. All-out war was declared upon every member of the common people, as they put it at the time. The commoners, they were afraid would outbreed them and eventually overthrow them and take over. And they claimed that the world would be in darkness because we're all too stupid to make good and proper decisions. So therefore, the idea was they'd have to eliminate the common types, the inferior types that had not made it up the Darwinian scale into success and monetary success and business success. They'd have to be eliminated. But of course, if they got wind of it, there could be an uprising, so they had to make a secret war. And it's not so secret today. It's out in the open under various guises that we must bring the population down one way or another. There's not enough food. And all of the various crises they're creating. Now, that again was part of the plan back in the early 1900s. Big international corporations were to be heavily funded to take over the entire food supply of the planet. That was part of the agenda. And then by doing so, they could tighten the reins, bring it in, and then declare eventually there was a food crisis.
And adulterate the food.
Adulterated, absolutely. The chemicals are in it. Are not there just for preserving the food. It's also to alter you. People have become terribly sick, and the IQ has dropped over the last 50 years or so.
And the sperm count. People.
And the sperm count is way down as well. So none of this is by chance, and now they've admitted that there's a particular substance in soy, which they pushed mightily back in the 60s and 70s, is a substitute for meat, and had so many people go on it. Males who've been on it, their sperm count is down 70% lower than those who are not.
And it also is now associated with breast cancer, but they tell women eat it for breast cancer, and now, I mean, it's just they're all getting breast cancer, and it's just the government will have all these big pageants and anti-cancer rallies with celebrities and everyone fighting it together, making it like some great, ooh, you've got it too. Ooh, it's like having a cold. Oh, the government, let's take more vaccines. They love us. And now, in the past, they would just take troops out in the field and nerve gas them. Now it's getting widespread. Where I've been looking at the numbers, and then they're all calling me now going, yes, almost everybody's been in the military. When they hit about 45, they're getting the cancer now, even in families that never had cancer.
Yes,
but then even more of the troops are just dropping dead when they give them the shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've talked to some of them, too, and they phone me up when they come back, and they tell me they were given all kinds of medications, and they're not told what these medications were. They were told to open their mouths every morning. The sergeant comes along and pops these pills in their mouth, make sure they swallow them too. And these are all tests they're doing on different sections of the military. I'm sure it's to affect their mind as well. They're trying to create this good killer robotic type soldier who will not suffer with flashbacks when he gets home.
Well, the head
no memory.
Well, the head futurist, Dr. Marshall at the Pentagon, said that in Wired magazine, as you know.
That's right. So this is at the age where science is supposed to rule and dominate, and all this began hundreds of years ago with the old alchemists, the Fraternity of Alchemy, who said that they'd always keep the advanced sciences to themselves. That was part of their oath. And by doing so, they'd take power over kings, queens, and governments, because those governments would need them to create the war machines. But ultimately, they would rule in what they called a logical manner, where the world would be run by the superior ones using logic.
And to them, they say, logically, might makes right, survival of the fittest, social Darwinism, and they point blank say in their books and all in thousands of different footnotes, we are going to build a worldwide control grid. We're going to kill 90%+ of you, and we're going to do it for the betterment of us. And to them, that's logical.
To them, it is logical. An end justifies the means. I think it was Rockefeller said at the World Bank meeting that this generation are the cannon fodder for this particular agenda. And he said also that he says, well, you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. So all the crisis you're going through in the last 50 years, the breakup of families, the incredible disruption in society, the drugs, etc., That's just what goes into making the omelet, and it's too bad. It has to be done.
That's just what has to be done, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to skip this break for InfoWars.com audio stream listeners. You got to go to that site, listen to those streams, the one on InfoWars.com. And then we're also streaming live on the web for PrisonPlanet.tv. Members can see the document cam, the guest cam, the internet cam, and a lot more. So we will be right back in 3 minutes for everybody else, but for PrisonPlanet.tv members and folks, we're going to keep talking behind this break. Alan, I got to tell you, I'm getting better and better with my guests on interrupting, but every time you say something, I want to back it up with footnotes because I myself have verified it 20 other places, and it just freaks me out because you're one of the few people that's done the same research I've done. How do we get this out to people? Because, I mean, this is a guaranteed fact, and then you'll just have some cop in a black uniform just laugh at you because he's in his own little social brainwashed clique thinking he's at the top of the pyramid, and then you're looking at him knowing he's walking dead being injected with the cancer viruses.
Well, I've been putting this out for donkey's years, the same material, and I've given up on those who are gone. I got to look at the world as a world of survivors and casualties, and it's a war. And when you look at the casualties and you're in the war and you're helping to fight it, you can't be distracted by the casualties. That's how far gone we are. We've got to realize that we don't have the time to wake up just the occasional individual who's well under the New World Order's mind control. We got to concentrate on a large audience and try and reach as many people as possible within that audience, the individuals who are able to receive. Yeah.
Well, the incredible thing is, amongst the elite, there's not that many, maybe 5,000 or so, that really have a big part of the plan in their mind. And even those are compartmentalized and think they're going to be the ones that are saved. I mean, I've had some of the elitist over the years, you know, off record. That's why I can't give us sources. But, you know, but they've written about this too. Say, well, Alex, as you noticed, you're telling them and they don't care. And we are in control. Doesn't that show that we are the elite? And so we do deserve to be doing this. And in fact, that you see it, that means you might want to join us.
That's their simple logic. It's their simple logic. And they're stunned. And they put on a strange expression when you don't take their offer. They can't imagine why you could possibly hang on to what you're hanging on to for emotional reasons or personal emotional reasons or attachment to others. They can't understand why you don't take the bait or the bribe.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they are just cold-blooded killers. We're going to go back on the main transmission. I want to get into solutions. I mean, I understand you're saying they're casualties, but how does somebody with a loved one or somebody else break them out? You know, there's the classic archetypal image of the cold bucket of ice water being thrown on people. What is that real-world contextual way that you found to try to break people out. I mean, I know with the programming, it's built in that when you try to break them out, they fight back even more into a self-assured, self-satisfied little smile and spew, you know, pre-programmed memes back at you. But I want to talk about that with you right now. Here we go.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down.
And the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
And it burns, burns, burns.
Yeah, the truth hurts, but not facing the truth is a lot worse.
The ring of fire.
I indict the globalists. You know, they say through their social Darwinian system that if the public's dumb enough to be enslaved and dumbed down and poisoned, that's what they deserve. And I say to them that, you know, that's like saying, well, if a baby doesn't know how to feed itself, kill it. Like Dr. Peter Singer says, or old people are like mackerel, go ahead and kill them. We destroy who we are as humans when we don't empathize, when we don't take care of weaker, when we don't thrill at unlocking minds or teaching. I love teaching people. I love learning. I love showing people things. I love seeing things be built. I want the best in our species and to try to suppress the worst in us. Instead, the globalists say, no, order out of chaos. We'll play them off against each other, make them bestial, animalistic, dumb them down, play on their weakest factors. Your take on that, Alan Watt, and then solutions. I know you're saying they're all casualties of war, move on, but for friends, for family, for others, I have been able to unlock minds, but just with a frontal assault of shocking them, maybe like a big bucket of ice water. But what are some of your ideas there?
Yeah, this is the main problem with most people. They try and wake up the person next to them, as generally a spouse or a relative, and that's where dissension comes in. And what generally happens, they overload them with too much at once. You got to realize that you've moved on into a different realm of understanding. That person's still back there in the 6 o'clock news version, and you've got a head-on clash right away. You're talking an alien language to them. And they have been trained that if it isn't on television, it cannot be true. So you have to, even with a presentation of evidence, they still go into a mind lock because they do believe the media is going to tell them all the truths they should know. They really believe that's the function of the media. They've been trained that way. And they have to go into a mind lock when you present them with facts, printed documentation, and so on. And it takes a lot of time, just feeding them a little bit at a time. And so pick something which is contemporary, that is provable to them. Even the heavy aerial spraying we've had for 10 years, coupled with the changing weather, because they're creating this new weather phenomena to convince us that we are the problem. However, they are doing it. You can see them doing it. You can breathe it, see them even creating a storm. And that's the kind of thing that you can show them immediately, that they must start using their own perceptions for the first time.
And if they deny it, you can show them the communist Chinese today clearing the air with different devices in Beijing. Now, expanding on that, you mentioned how they want to kill our propulsion or our self-preservation instinct because they say, "Ooh, that's too aggressive. That will, be their their impulse drive system to fight us and to have sovereignty and to defend their family and tribalism. Oh, no, only our elitist tribalism is okay. We've got to neutralize that in them." And you're right. As Richard N. Haas, the head of the CFR, says, modern environmentalism is about taking our survival drive and turning it against ourselves, making us the problem. So it's kind of a feedback loop, or like being electrocuted. We must get rid of humans to save the humans. So it makes our survival mechanism turn against itself, turn the gun against ourselves. Let's kill ourselves to save ourselves. Meanwhile, the globalists, as you said, with weather control, are doing things to the Earth to then stampede us into accepting that we're the problem.
Yeah, there's it's the guy behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. That's what they're doing. And they whistle in the wind and say nothing while the proof is in front of our faces if we care to look at it. Yeah.
All right, Alan Watt. We've been all over the map here. I want to get more into how somebody listening who's laughing right now, how we get them to realize they've been mesmerized by television, that they are in a dream setting, that they are hypnotized. Back in 1 minute. calls are coming up for Alan Watt in about 15 minutes, but Alan continuing with the fact that we do have social architects with chemicals, with flickering screens, with semantical distortion, with the tactics of having six screens behind the CNN host, and then only your subconscious mind can take in all six screens, and he's in front of it talking, which is another feed. Then you have a scroll at the bottom, a blue mist in the corner, and then they teach in that high level of television. I mean, I talk to the producers, but it's also in textbooks, that is meant to make you immediately go into subconscious mode. And I'm using that example because that's something that a bureaucrat listening right now, you know, laughing at us, or some cop or somebody thinks they're part of the system. When you're watching CNN tonight, catch how you feel like you're dumbed down, how you're sleeping, how you're daydreaming. I mean, that's what they call it, that brainwave. And then notice it's because your conscious mind can only focus in on one or two things at once. Some people two, most people one. And the more you watch television, the more it narrows what you can pay attention to. And that because there's all those things going on the screen, it automatically flips you into subconscious mode so your brain can take it in. Alan Watt.
To do with the reading as well. Now, you go into an alpha state, and that's where you're highly suggestible. The sensor part of your brain is down, and so you're into alpha state. And when you're reading as well, you see the eye movements. You watch hypnotists, for instance. They love to use something which moves in front of your face. When your eyes are moving from left to right, as you read that screen, it's also aiding you to go into that hypnotic state. That's why the reading's at the bottom of the page. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I talk to the public, and people say, oh, it's like they have glazed eyes, and nobody talks to each other, and they're obsessed with their little media device. That's because that's becoming the whole world. That little screen is connected to the eyes, which are just brain stalks, and it literally is an interface, and they're being sucked into the matrix. How long until you physically think they start inserting people into the racks, like they already do in Japan at night, in the major metropolis there in Tokyo, where people don't even go home? They just live in these racks. The military says they will be inserting us by law into the pods by 2025. Do you think it'll even take that long?
No. In fact, there'll be a lot of people going to it voluntarily to begin with, which puts everyone at ease, thinking I can go into it and come back out. I can go in and play and come back out of it. That's the appeal they're putting out to the public. And even at this stage of virtual reality games and so on, there are people who are now addicted to the other world. And they're getting treatment because they like this other world better than the real one. In the other world, you can be a child forever. There's no aging, no decay, no worries. You can get everything you want with virtual money and all the rest of it. So you're finding that's already working with a lot of people on that level. They have the ability now to put you into the virtual reality. And the Pentagon has admitted, and I've read it on air from their own documentation, they have supercomputers set up with every individual pretty well on the planet. They have a duplicate of you with all your personal data, information, height, structure, and so on, preferences, and all kinds.
They call that the server in the sky, every person being tracked with the Google data, with the RFID, with the NSA, in live time, everything you're doing.
And so they have a clone of you in the virtual world, which they claim they can put you into eventually, and one day, very shortly, and I've got a few articles in from professors just sent, who claim that very shortly you'll be unable to tell if you're waking up in the virtual world or the real world. It'll be indistinguishable.
But even without that,
perfected.
But even without that high-tech system, when the average American's watching close to 5 hours of TV, 2 or 3 hours of video games, text messaging, we're already losing our humanity and being sucked into the matrix.
That we are, and it's all in preparation for it. Watch television now. It's very simplistic. As you're talking about the media, the way the media is presented, the stories are presented, it's more simplistic than ever. There used to be a lot more persuading at one time to convince you. They don't have to. It's almost like a parent talking to a child now in a little short statement.
They're dumbing it down by design. Behind the scenes on the InfoWars.com exclusive streams. We're going to be talking to Alan Watt. We'll be back for everybody else in 3 minutes. Alan, continue along that line. Continue.
Yeah, this came from the Soviet system. You see, they used the Soviet system as a big laboratory. where the people had basically no rights, and they used lots of political prisoners for experimentation. They had absolutely no rights. And they used the virtual techniques on them of mind control to a very high degree. They also used ELF devices on them as well to try and control their behavior and actually program them into sort of remote programming, you might call it. They used little black boxes in some of the top schools that put the children at ease and very calm. They weren't agitated to sit and listen attentively, and there was no hyperness whatsoever with the children with these scientific boxes that gave out ELF frequencies. This was all used there, and now we've blended with the Soviet system, as they said they'd do at the Rees Commission. That was the function of the big foundation, was to blend the Soviet system eventually, which they knew they were going to do, into the American system and that of the West, and use those techniques in an even higher level, to a higher degree, because the U.S. had the incredible tax bases to pull from and funding and institutions to work on these high-tech equipment. Well, we're seeing it now. This is the virtual world they want to bring us into. And even now, strange, you know, this is not crazy whatsoever. As you say, the Matrix movie was based upon releases from the United States Air Force and DARPA from the 1980s. They can use the human body as a battery. They can take energy from the human body. They've even got a new dance halls coming up with floors which will pick up the movements of the people above it. And each pound of the foot or whatever, is they can actually take energy from the movements of the human body, and that makes the whole dance floor, it lights it up and everything. So we are batteries. We will be batteries in this new system, absolutely. And self-repairing batteries, we're very efficient. We're even better than machines. We repair ourselves internally. So we'll be ideal batteries to serve the elite for a while. Yeah.
Absolutely. Continue.
Well, you see, to most people, this seems shocking, but it's not shocking at all. As I say, that they've got a virtual you, every one of you out there, in these super Pentagon supercomputers, these Cray supercomputers. And all the data that you put out on the Internet, all the stuff collected from your sensor forms, etc., from all your banking forms, your habits, your purchasing habits, all the rest of it, you'll have a duplicate world in there, and they can predict pretty well your behavior patterns. They've admitted that with the cell phones now, they've been.
And that was always their big goal. 50 years ago, the guy that invented the term 60 years ago, robot, Isaac Asimov, wrote about these new supercomputers that would track everything you did and then be able to predict the future off of that. Here we go. 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231, and just give me a fresh call list, John, from the top so I can get them all straight here. Your call's coming up in about 5 minutes. We've been getting into this control grid. I see one weak spot in the New World Order structure being their own technicians, their own IT people, their own specialized individuals who are very intelligent, who have been put on these power trips, who have been given great power. I see rebellion within their ranks and humanity springing eternal. I know they've carefully screened them and also carefully watched their own people. But I do see continual leaks from them. They're not omnipresent. They're not all-powerful. They're trying to have this ultimate final revolution against humanity, an ultimate tyranny that can't be defeated, in their own words. But I see a great weak spot being their own people leaking information, sabotaging them, bringing information out. Because I talk to people in Hollywood, people in government, high level, they know what's going on. They're upset. They don't like it. They talk about how it's closed systems, how the inner party of the New World Order is some of the most oppressed people of any group. I mean, do you think that's an area? I mean, obviously, resistance springs from the grassroots, the middle class, but what about from elite circles?
From elite circles themselves, and for those who have been very good, faithful servants to bring all this about, you'll find, just as in the Soviet system, for every person who was a bureaucrat or a scientist, they were more heavily monitored on a daily basis than the average citizen, because the elite must be sure of them first and what they're doing. If they get loose tongue somewhere, they're simply eliminated. And I think we'll find more and more suicides as time goes on, That's how it would be presented to the public, with a higher member bureaucrats or scientists, because it's been found that they're becoming loose-tongued because they're worried about their own lives. They know too much. They know that eventually their own function will be over, and they will also be eliminated, so they start to panic and talk to close friends, and they don't realize they're being monitored more heavily than the average individual or citizen in the street. That's how the Soviets did it, and that's how we're doing it here, too.
Exactly. With this whole science, there's a million different ways they do this, but to get their, say, FBI or Secret Service, they found the FBI to fight the mob. It's instantly corrupted with the mob. So out of the gates, and of course, the government made alcohol illegal for those 10 years that later came out to corrupt the federal police. Then they say, oh, we're fighting communists. We've got to cut corners for America. They get them compromised. They commit all this evil. And then now today, the low-level FBI is just investigating petty crimes, but at the top, these are sinister army of murderers and killers and drug dealers. Same thing with the DEA and the CIA. You see these guys, you go to events, you talk to them, and you say, they're killing the troops with the cancer viruses. You know they're giving it to the public. I've even, seen globalists whose daughters have died of cancer when they're 10. I'll say, you know that's killing you. And they just kind of look at you and, that's the way it is. So I guess it's also kind of like O'Brien says in 1984, because Orwell really lived through all that, Eric Blair had, that O'Brien says, I'll be smashed, I'll be destroyed, I'll be tortured and killed. Oh, I love it. It's the strength of the evil system. I live on in this system that's just meant to tear humans apart.
Yeah. But what you also find, and this is what they found with Adolf Hitler and those who loved Stalin, during the Nuremberg trials with Hitler, all the officers who were on trial glorified Hitler to the bitter end. And of course, the conclusions they come to, they all had psychopathic-type natures. Within the psychopath, there's a sadomasochism. It's very, very, very obvious. They despise the inferiors beneath them in rank, but they glory in the power of those above them. They worship power, and so they worship those above them to the bitter end. And that's also the structure you have in the scientific and bureaucratic elite that runs the world today. They glorify the ones above them for having so much power. It's hard for a non-psychopath to understand. You cannot get into their mindset. But that's what works with them. The lust and the craving, and an awful craving for total power, and they worship those who have it above them.
And that's what it is. When you look at Bush and people on a podium, or you look at a Bilderberg group meeting photo or video, they are all looking at each other lustfully. And then Bill Clinton, even in front of George Bush Sr., will, in front of everyone, not saying why he's doing it, he will just bow to him. And then they all just froth, yes, power, yes. And they love the power of children dying of cancer. They love the power of killing the troops. And they love the fact that the police worship them while they're giving their cancer virus injections. They just love it. Oh, look at them loving me while I kill them. It's so sick. Look at them worshiping us as we kill them. Look at the public loving us after. I mean, Bush, if you watch him on the pile with the bullhorn, he's just getting this sick, evil look. And you can just see him just loving the firemen crying and worshiping him. He's thinking, look at these scumbag bastards. Just look at how I've killed a bunch of them. And they love it. I mean, he's feeding right there.
Yes. Well, there's no doubt. I mean, that statement that Brzezinski made to one of the major magazines in an interview, when he was asked if the public would ever rebel, and he said, the public, he says, what do I think of the public? He says, well, he says, you can beat them, you can starve them to death, and he says, what do? They just turn around and eat their dead. He despised the common public, despised them with a hatred.
Well, that's like in the book Kiss the Boys Goodbye. I mean, Kissinger wrote himself, the military are dumb, pathetic animals to be used up as cannon fodder. And they just go, yes, sir, murder me, kill America, I love it. Yes, sir.
Yep. That's the name in the game in the psychopath's world. And that's why they have these amazing, this incredible protection that occasionally lets them down and lets out their sexual strangeness that they all have, because they are all sadomasochistic in every way in the bedroom as well.
I don't like pain, and to me that's bizarre and weird, but they love being humiliated. I mean, I don't want to get into what they do, but it's admitted with Hitler, and they're always catching British lords having the same thing done.
Yeah.
And they love to be beaten. They love to be have crap smeared all over them. And that's and they're going to do that to us, folks. See, that's their love for us is brutalizing us and crapping on us.
Yes, yes. And, you know, even David Suzuki, who is one of the leaders and proponents, he said on national television in Canada, we've got to kill off, I think it was 140,000 a day to save the world. The guy who loves furry little animals, but who is a geneticist who works for the World Wildlife Fund and the United Nations. In one of his early lectures, he says, we're all just fruit flies. And he was into breeding fruit flies. He says, that's all people are. They're fruit flies.
Well, here's the point I want to get your take on. We're going to break and take calls. We're actually going to skip this break for InfoWars.com listeners because it's too important. I keep making a big deal out of this, and it's in my film Endgame because it is a big deal. It's the key. Two different newspapers reported, and I've been at similar events, when they talk about, when Dr. Eric Pianca talked about, we've got to kill 90% of the public, my wife and my family, we're all ready to die. He projected a giant PowerPoint of skulls with a red filter, and the newspapers described raptured three-minute standing ovations every time he said kill everybody, 95% standing ovations, and that's the point. And they all... I mean, you go look in every case. I mean, I've had his graduate students who are now doctors send me threatening emails. Then I check their MySpace. I check their professional pages. They're all in bioweapons or bioweapons research. Yeah. And now they've moved this cult of killers into the new 36 level 4 bioweapons laboratories that are all based in major cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all just, yes, we're going to murder you. It's beautiful for Earth. Ah, my family. I'm ready to take the bioweapons home and release it on my family first. And then it's like, oh, you're so beautiful how you're going to die. Oh, it's, I mean, and then they catch PETA. And I reported this years before it came out because I know somebody was in it. Goes and gets dogs from the pound, and then they sit in there eating hamburgers and rolling around on tables, injecting dogs and cats with poison, killing them. I told you that, okay, folks. And then it came out in the news. I mean, they're psychos. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Psycho killers run it all.
Yeah. Oh, even Skinner. You there's videotapes up with Skinner and others actually dropping fairly newborn babies from a foot or a foot and a half high to see how they react when they hit a table. I mean, that's what they are. These people are utter psychopaths, and we better get to understand that quickly. Very quickly.
And the whole world is being built into an amusement park for the elite to cram us through meat grinders, slit throats, rape children, bioweapon, because they think death and piles of maggot-covered bodies are beautiful. I mean, John Wayne Gacy, the rest of them, they loved maggots. They loved rotten flesh. They loved torturing people. And you're going to find out, folks, that's who runs it. Troops, when you're dying from the shots they give you, remember, they're enjoying killing you.
And they get off on the fact the public never catch on to it. See, that's the big joke amongst them. They get off on the fact that the public go along with everything that they want us to go along with. We must acquiesce to every part of their plan, and we do it by silence and acceptance. And they laugh at us for doing so as dumb animals.
I know, yeah. And I just can't stand it. God, I can't stand it, Alan. I mean, I know you say it's casualties of war, got to move on, but... I can't believe a bunch of spindly-necked, pot-bellied pedophiles who love dead bodies and love torture and black uniforms run the planet.
Yes.
I mean, I just can't believe what humanity could do if they weren't holding us back.
That's just it. And even some of those involved, like Lenin, who was well-trained by the big bankers to do his role, who said communism is the new, it was going to last 70 years, and he was right on. He said that there are 1,000 directions society could go in, human society, but they must not be allowed to know that. They must think the one they're born into, the system they're born into, is the only natural one that could have evolved. So we're not supposed to realize that, look at the industry of man, look at all the waste of tax money and all their big projects which enslave us through technology and research and development. If that had gone into all the right causes, we truly could have one incredible world here. And we wouldn't have all the ills that we have today caused by these psychopaths who run us today.
And they always drill into us. It's evolution. It's set. You don't have free will. No, it's because they know you have free will, and they don't want you taking hold of real human destiny. We're going to keep talking right now.
On the average,
Alan, American 4 minutes. You've got the floor to talk about whatever you want. We're going to come back and take calls.
Well, you know, if you ever study pedophilia, pedophiles, for instance, are, again, sadomasochists, but generally sadists. And when they're questioned, when they're caught, they will often say that the child wanted this to happen. No matter how grotesque the actions were, they'll blame the victim. And that's standard what the abuser does to the victim. They blame the victim for what happened, including themselves getting caught. And they'll hate the victim for that. Now, they've created a system of abuse in the world. This is an abusive system. And the public are trained to go back to the abuser for help when the problems brought on by the abuser affect them. That's how the system is. The public are trained to cry, you must help us do something. And the abuser smiles and grins and says, well, okay, we'll see what we can do, but it's going to cost you. And we better get that through our heads. Stop going back to the abuser, because they will not fix your problems. They've caused your problems. And we are simply doing exactly as they predicted we would do. We've got to understand the behavior patterns here in the mind of the sadomasochist psychopath who runs the planet. Or we're doomed. Acquiescence to everything is the plan. We acquiesce to all their demands. Look what's happening in airports and everywhere else in the world. We're watching the total destruction of freedom. All the rights that were fought for over many, many centuries have been taken away over the last few years under this absolute absurd notion of terrorism. And terrorism had nothing to do with it until you realize to the elite, we're all the terrorists, you see. Any individual with a thinking mind who understands what's going on is a terrorist. Any person who says, I'm not going along with this agenda of genocide is a terrorist. We're all terrorists. If you want to get married and have children and pick your own mates, you are a terrorist. That's not to be allowed in the near future. The young children at school are being taught right now to even volunteer themselves for sterility to save the world. And there's even some come forward to do that. I said that would happen 16, 17 years ago. It's happening. When you read their agenda, which they publish copiously, you know what they're going to do next. It's quite simple. But you've got to get off that mainstream television, away from the talking professional liars that are well paid to lie to you, and start thinking for yourself and talking to each other. When television first came in, it didn't just separate people from talking within the community. It stopped everyone in the household from talking to each other.
Well, look where you said it. You said it in the center of the living room. Everybody's focused on it. It becomes the center of daily life.
Absolutely. And it destroyed... you know, in Britain, there was a campaign. In Britain, most of the bars, they were run by two or three big chains. People used to go into the bar. That was a community place where everyone talked. And doesn't matter who you, a stranger could walk in and you can go around everyone and you'd go into conversations on everything.
Now you go in a bar and they all want to watch TV.
Yeah, but I can remember when they put them in and it came in all at once. In every pub at the same time, giant televisions, the volume was up so loud, it was all sport, you couldn't hear yourself talking. That was a deliberate attempt by those who ran the system to stop all conversation and communication between people and communities, and it worked.
This is the massive social engineering, and we have to get people to break out of it. You start by not watching the mainstream television, by cutting it down to almost nothing, not letting your children watch it, by not eating GMO food, by not having cell phones, by getting your children out of public schools. We're coming back live. All right, David, Alan, Bill, and many others. We're going to go to your phone calls right now. David in Canada, you're on the air worldwide.
How you doing?
Good.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it sounded like my phone was about to be clipped there. I spoke to you on May 19th, and you wanted me to send you some additional information about the... about me fighting the power structure and how I was held in custody for 8 years on fabricated charges. Now,
you call a lot of shows, yeah, and talk about how you're locked up somewhere. How can we help you?
Yeah, well, what I want to do is tell you that when people try to fight the system, that they basically turn into boat rockers and they get thrown overboard. I've had numerous people that try to come forward to help me that have had calamities in their own lives and, you know, family members die and things like that. So what happens is these people turn into what I call sand heads. They tend to bury their heads deeper into the sand because they're too afraid of what's going on, and they figure they can't do anything about it. And you virtually can't do anything about it because they have so much power that they use shows like this to list, to find out who the dissidents are.
So we might as well give up and not even do radio shows.
So
look, I appreciate your call, sir. You call every show continually, and then you always badmouth the shows. I don't know what you want or what you're talking about. I'm giving you things to do. Stop eating GMO food. Stop using cell phones. Get out of public schools. Stop watching TV. Get to know your neighbors. Find out what's happening. I mean, we're here trying to talk about solutions, and since we're one of the only places where people can have a say, then we get attacked because people are just clawing at each other like trying to save a drowning man. Alan Watt?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, when you cannot voice what's happening, it truly would be game over. And we have to say what's happening and warn what can happen if the people don't stop now. We know that every device they give us in technology is to serve them. That's a given. Years after they gave us one, even the cell phone, then they tell you, we've been tracking you from the beginning and finding out who all your friends are to get your modes of behavior and to see if their modes of behavior coincide with yours, etc., etc. It's all studies, and data. But we know that they're getting smaller and smaller, these units. They can do more and more. And eventually be so small that they'll be dysfunctional. And the children will then be presented with the chip, the interfacing chip. That's where it's supposed to go to. And I think now parents got to start with their children and start telling them, look, this is fascinating you. It's designed to fascinate you.
You've got to draw the line now. And they're already, like in Time Magazine for Kids and two different issues, saying your parents said this aren't cool. They don't want you to have the chip. Yeah. Rebel and get it. You've got to explain to your children they're taking their natural rebellion and trying to turn that against the family. You've got to early on expose the government and the state as bad to your children, and then they will be with your family and not with the state. You notice the state says, don't educate your children, don't give them your values, let them be who they want to be. No. That means let the state come in and program them.
That's right, and some countries have admitted that already. Italy, for one, has banned homeschooling. Well, not homeschooling, they've actually wanted all children.
Well, California is announcing it, but people aren't just going along with it.
Yeah, and Hillary Clinton said that if she got in, she'd also ban all homeschooling because they must have everyone, and I've said this, in the system, the one system. No one's to be allowed to escape it.
David
because
in Texas.
Once again,
go ahead.
You might be an individual. An individual can be a very powerful entity that can shout, the king has no clothes, and that can ripple across very quickly and shatter the illusion.
David,
they cannot have that.
David in Texas, you're on the air with Alan Watt. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys, great show today. Pretty intense. Two questions, make them quick. The first question, y'all brought up the soy milk and that it might not necessarily be good for you and lower sperm count. Is that true even with the organic soy milk?
Yes.
Yeah, I quit drinking regular milk because it had all the hormones and crap in it. But now I'm hearing, you know, that the soy milk isn't good for me. So
Any staple they push is going to be bad if in some way to hurt you. This is total war. Understand, what they do is they are, with all your major soy milks, they are crushing it up and reducing it down with the cores. Now, even the meat of the soybean, you know, even the flesh of the soybean, the supposed good part, has high level of estrogen-mimicking plant sterols. But the core is almost pure estrogen. And so it hyper-feminizes the girls and feminizes the boys. Alan Watt.
Yeah, and that was known from the beginning. These guys don't make mistakes.
Henry Ford developed it all 87 years ago, 89 years. It was almost 90 years ago.
It was the same now you find that Charles Galton Darwin wrote the book The Next Million Years in the 1950s. He was a physicist, and he was the grandson of Charles Darwin. And he was a eugenicist and all for this agenda. And he put it in his book that they'd have to alter the hormonal levels of male and female, and if possible, get estrogen, high doses of estrogen into the males. And he suggested a whole bunch of ways to doing it.
Yeah, there are thousands of types of plastics they could make, but they choose for almost all plastic drinking containers the type that leaches estrogen-mimicking chemicals. See, they chose that exact chemist calculation to hit you and hit you hard. Stay there. We're going to talk behind scenes right now with Alan Watt. Alan, you have the total floor for 3 minutes, and we're going to come back and plug your books and videos and things and keep taking calls. But right now, you got 3 minutes.
Yeah, another thing to watch, too, is they put the same coating of this bisphenol even within beer cans now and lots of canned vegetables, etc. Now, tin cans were fine all the way up till fairly recently until they put the stuff in. So why is it in there? It's to heighten the dose of bisphenol or this artificial estrogen. And then you find out when they did the big baby campaign to stop mothers from using breast milk, etc., then you found out that the actual rubber heat they had on the bottles was also made of the same stuff that gave them high doses of estrogen. And from then on, we've seen all the problems with males down through the generations. They also had the big companies that made baby food as mums were convinced that ordinary food wasn't good enough anymore, scientifically designed food was better, then they were doing the same thing. The big companies now have admitted that the chemical they used to supposedly sterilize those baby jars before putting in the food, it just happened to be a synthetic estrogen that they happened to use, and they just found that out now. So come on, come on, come on. When do we wake up, and how long are we going to act stupid here? This was a planned war, which they published. They've done. And we still don't want to believe it is so horrific until we get past that stage and believe, yeah, this is truly a horror show. We don't stand a chance. And these guys have got to pay for this one day. They've got to pay for this. We can't let it go on. We can't let them go unpunished. It's got to be done. And they know this, too. They know that when people start getting the education and coming back at them, these guys will be running for their lives. They know that. What else can they do? They either kill us all off or have us hunt them. They know this. This is war. They're well aware of it. And these guys mean business. We better start meaning business, too, or it's game over for all of us and all the children who could come. All of the children. And that's the bottom line with the whole thing. Because, you know, the society has been so broken that the continuity of generations, which was so important to every people in the planet, a natural thing that gave you a form of security and peace of mind as you went through your life, that the cycles would continue, that has been broken. Natural affection has been almost destroyed, again, because of this war on the people, the war between the genders, etc. There's also a war between the generations. You read all of the communist literature, they said they'd have to destroy the connection and the bonds between all generations. Then they, from the top, could control each generation. That has been done. That goes as far back as 1934, Comintern meeting that Beria presided over. He said it would take 70 years before we could make major changes within the structure of society on a cultural basis. Now he said we can do it every 5 years, and eventually it'll be
Here
done every year.
All right, we're going to go back on the main transmission now. Here we go.
Riders of the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday.
Let your children play. You give this man a ride.
You give this man a ride. Sweet family will die. Killer on the road.
There's a killer on the road.
Yeah.
His brain is squirming like a toad. Give this man a ride, and we will die. We gave them more than a ride, they run it all. More of your phone calls here in just a moment. I want to encourage all of the listeners to realize that we face a serious battle, but we're gaining a lot of ground. And the info war is the key. You can talk yourself blue in your face to your neighbors, coworkers, friends, family, strangers, and that has some effect, but videos are the key.
Take him by the hand.
And all you got to do is direct people to sources of information that can break the matrix for them. And then once they finally see behind it, it's fire and forget. Once you get somebody to, whoa, I just saw the matrix, whoa, then they have unlocked their mind on their own. They can begin to see what's happening. And that's where my films like Truth Rising that everybody needs on DVD, available at InfoWars.com. That's where it's all available. Get it on DVD. Make copies of it. You know, low-tech it. Give it to everybody you know. Or go to PrisonPlanet.tv. Get a 15-cent-a-day membership. Download the films in super high quality. Burn them to disc. Give them to people. And, you know, and think, well, if it's youngsters who are tech-savvy, you can burn them DivX copies of the film in high quality, as many as you want. It's designed for that on PrisonPlanet.tv. We're fighting the prison planet. We are educating the public. We are unlocking minds, and we're having a great effect. So, again, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Call toll-free to get Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, the preeminent film for the wide-spectrum analysis of the New World Order system and their master plan. I've made 19 films. I carry a bunch of other books and videos, the best that I've seen out there, at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or 888-253-3139. And before Alan leaves us, we're also going to plug some of his videos and materials that are excellent as well. We have links to his website up on InfoWars.com right now. Alan, in fact, plug your website and stuff right now, and then I want to talk about the positive things that are happening, because the elite is not happy. They are worried by how many are waking up. I believe even with their predictive computer systems, they did not, they admit, expect this much awakening to happen. They'll probably just launch a bio attack or a nuke or something early to get us to clutch back to their psychopathic underside and worship them again, you know, begging them to be our mommy. But talk about your website material, and then positive things you see happening and more solutions than calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people should look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com and see what I have up there that keeps me going for sale. And there's hundreds and hundreds of shows I've done and talks on all the various subjects to do with this order that's running the world. And they can also look into Alan Watts sentinel.eu. That's the European site, and that covers a lot of bases as well, with other data and transcripts which you can download and print up. But on the positive side of this, they, as you say, they're terribly, terribly worried. That's why they're out in such force, and they're screaming terror everywhere. They're very, very worried now that the public will get wind of what's been happening to them, not just recently, but for a long time. And we know that they're terrified for their lives, actually, at the very top. And people who are terrified for their lives, conspirators, are lethal in their actions. They're absolutely lethal in their actions because they're ruthless. They must be ruthless to succeed. They know what will happen to them if all of this comes out and more of the public know what's been done to them, their families, their children, the sicknesses, the diseases that they've gone through, the heartaches that they've gone through watching people dying of cancers, etc., that were man-made. These people will have to be utterly ruthless, and that's why the Predator Society, a militarized society, to try and force us all to go along to the bitter end and do what we're told. They're hoping that fear is going to stop us all, and fear will not stop us all. I have no doubt for us as well, eventually as well. I have no doubt of that at all, if they can't get their way. But there's no other way to do this. There's no time left. You can't simply do the old way of passing information quietly down through the generations. Now, is you have to put lots of information out on the right topics that really hit home to people to put them into action. Because, you see, the elite have told us where they're taking us, which is the extinction, basically, of the species as we know it. The transhumanist agenda is so heavily well-funded, these international organizations of professors and scientists, to create the new types of humans.
And they're the ones that stand up with 95%, you know, of the audience standing ovation. Yay, kill everyone. Yes. Oh yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so wonderful. I mean, you know, that's in the news. So one big thing they have going for them that I want people to point out, you know, to themselves is that the average person judges the world by their own actions. And so even when you're reading their own textbooks and documents where they admit they're doing all this, or when Peter, you know, Singer is saying, kill the babies, kill the old people, or when a B.F. Skinner is, you know, murdering his own son and putting it in a textbook and how he tortured him for years in a small box, and, oh, it's beautiful, it's a sacrament, ooh, it's so liberal, it's so cutting edge. I mean, it's this mental illness is normal, normalcy is evil and mentally ill to them. It's that people have that trouble dealing with something so monstrous, so big, so wicked, and it is frightening. I mean, it's frightening to admit this to yourselves, but folks, you don't have a choice. You have to fight back against this now.
You have no choice. They have told us where they're taking us. They say that the old human is not good enough. It's obsolete, and they're going to create new types of humans, which eventually will have nothing in common with the old human. What they mean by that, they're going to create a perfect race of slaves to serve them, which will be unable to think for themselves as distinct, independent individuals. That's what they mean by that. So we've got to understand, they've planned our extinction, our death. And they're publishing it now, openly. And they hope to guide us along so that we'll go along with it quite happily and willingly until we die off.
That's right. They're teaching us how beautiful and wonderful it is.
Mm-hmm.
So again, military, police, government bureaucrats, when you're wondering why your 10-year-old's dying of an advanced leukemia and why a kid down the street's dying of it, just remember, we warned you, we loved you, we believed in you, we tried to warn you, and you laughed back at us, and you went out and cracked somebody over the head with a billy club, or for some school teacher that's laughing, or some member of a state legislature who's laughing. Remember, you were warned. I think that's important because, you know, we may not even make it another 5 years, another 6 years, another 10 years, Alan, but people are going to remember these transmissions, and these transmissions are going to be passed around if the enemy succeeds when they're illegal. And people are going to huddle in areas they think are safe to even receive this info. And later they'll realize this has already happened with stuff I put out 12, 13 years ago. People are just blown away by it now. You know, they go watch TV shows I did 10 years ago. My God, it all happened. This guy's a prophet. No, the enemy told us everything. The enemy told us everything. So remember, when you think one out of three getting cancer from 1 in 33, you know, is bad, wait till it's everybody. You see, just remember, we told you, we were right, we cared, we had the courage to tell you if we're not able to turn this around.
Mm-hmm. And another thing to remember, too, and a technique they're using at the moment, through all the fear creation, when you live under fear and stress for a long time, it's no different than being in a torture chamber. You'll crack eventually. It makes you more malleable, more suggestible, and you're guided by the authorities along ridiculous paths. Ridiculous if you were completely conscious and perfectly sane at the time. You would not go along them. But when you're under tremendous stress and fear of all the coming crises and food crises and all the crises they're creating, they want you to be so apathetic. That was an essential tool to create apathy, to allow yourself to be guided to the slaughterhouse. That's what they want. And so we mustn't let all of this crisis creation beat us down.
Imagine if we could take the U.S. or another country back and then bring all this out and show everybody the documents and have public trials showing how they did it and then basically outlaw or restrict these technologies of control. Then we could have a true golden age of humanity and go to the stars.
And yeah, we'd have to watch every person that we allow to have authority in any science whatsoever to be monitored all the time by the public, all of the public, when they wish to.
Total transparency.
Absolutely. It'd have to be. Yeah. Have to be. You can't allow foundations and organizations with secrecy and the backing of billions of dollars to do as they wish anymore. You cannot do that.
And I have to say, I'm not calling for any form of tyranny, but this ultimate dehumanization, this perfection of darkness and wickedness is so dangerous and will always try to come back we do, as you said, need to have absolute transparency, and it will take, defeating it, unfortunately, I have to say, will take some type of tyranny itself. I hate to say that, Alan, but this thing is human-ending systems we're talking about. This New World Order must be outlawed.
Oh, absolutely. You cannot have secrecy and secret societies and foundations and world citizenships. I mean, that's what they call themselves now. Even the Club of Rome. put themselves out under the Rockefeller Foundation initially as world citizens. And you understand, it sounds nice and fuzzy on
it means worldwide prison. It means worldwide extermination grid.
Absolutely. They're behind eugenics and everything else because they decide what is a good citizen, what constitutes a healthy citizen.
Well, here's an example.
And otherwise.
They say families are unhealthy, everything's bad, but the bilge they create. I told people 12 years ago, because I had the documents and I had a congressman on the show and I had a member of parliament from Australia on, I found out that everybody at birth for 35 years now, it's almost 36, had blood taken, was put in an international database. And I gave them where it was stored. Now, because the show got big enough and others talked about it, they went ahead in the last 6 months and came out and said, yes, we're taking all your blood. It's in a database. We're keeping DNA databases. We're putting it in criminal databases. Homeland Security has it. And then they're now passing retroactive laws saying it was okay to take your blood. Folks, the government is so criminal that they've been taking your blood in the industrialized world for 35 years, and the program started everywhere the same year, 35 years ago. See, that shows the global government is already in place. It's just sending down more tentacles, more tripods, more control systems, and building a pyramid of control up around the skeleton of the pyramid that already shot out decades ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the big world leaders signed the agreement and the charter at the United Nations in California at the end of World War II.
Presidio.
Yeah. What they did was sign on, and they knew it at the top. Those guys at the top knew this. This whole agenda was to come from that. It wasn't about... See, world peace, you understand how they define peace.
That means everyone dead but a few million elitists.
That's correct.
Peace means, just like the Emperor says in Revenge of the Sith, he goes, we'll kill everybody and then we'll have peace.
Yes, that's it. That's absolutely it. And they had the whole agenda worked out before they signed the charter, that they'd destroy the family unit, create a war between male and female, and then the government can talk to every individual and order individual every individual on a one-to-one basis with no one to stand up for that individual. Divide and conquer down to the individual. That was the technique to be used. Then the government would be truly, for the first time, in charge. That was intent.
Unbelievable. Who's up next here? I got calls all over the map.
Alan in Virginia.
Alan in Virginia, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I'm real privileged to be on today. I know usually the system will kick callers off after 10 minutes, but fortunately there was a glitch today, and the queue got cleared for me. Well, I wanted to talk with your guest today, Alan Watts, about...
No, you know what? I'm not going to let that go by. John, there's no system that kicks callers off the phone system, is there?
No, there's not.
And everybody keeps saying they're hearing a shh. That's what the Telos phone system does in talk radio to let you know you're on the air. It goes shh when we go to you, caller. So it's something with your phone if you're being kicked off after 10 minutes. But the point is, I'm not mad at you, but this is a classic kind of mental distraction here that each caller will add some little inanity to as a preface to what they're saying. I want to get to all the calls, so you've got the floor. Do you have an issue to cover?
Yes, sir. I called several weeks ago and mentioning that I was a transhumanist or I identify as such, and I wanted to talk with your guest today about whether the I've not been able to identify. I mean, I've done extensive Google searches on everything from brain-computer interfaces to people talking about collective consciousness and stuff, and what I've found is that the most advanced brain-computer interface out there is called the BrainGate, and it's not terribly impressive in itself. It's just a centimeter squared a unit which can be implanted on the cortex, and it does provide for a limited.
Sure, they were remote controlling rats with total control, even controlling their heart rates 20 years ago. They have robo-rats deployed all over the world. I mean, they had robo-roaches 25 years ago. Are you saying... Oh, my God. Just go ahead.
Well, yes. So the BrainGate chip, I mean, you have to understand that if you want some dramatic result, yes, you can get a dramatic result like increasing the heart rate and providing a euphoric feeling.
What is your point? What are you saying we're making up? Just is everything's fine? The government loves us? Take your shots, basically?
No, not at all. And I think that there is a great deal of evil in the government, but I'm just saying that Mr. Watts is jumping the gun and
well, let me answer that, but with some facts for a change, okay? Delgado, who ran the FBI department on mind control at one point, was controlling bulls in the arena back in the 1950s and 60s completely. So the stuff that you're talking about and is published in the so-called magazines and so on that you look at is completely and utterly obsolete. These guys are so far advanced and stuff, they don't publish to you that they're quite confident they can pull this off. And it's not just about getting a brain implant. Who the hell do you think is going to program you when you're in this virtual real world? Yourself? You won't be doing it.
They're programming you through the television set. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are so stupid. On the one hand, they believe that there's somehow some altruism left amongst the psychopaths that allow them to go into this virtual world that'll be part cyborg and part this and part something else and be allowed to do what they want. The whole intent of this virtual world is so that you can be completely and utterly controlled. You find at the World Science Meeting held in Louisiana in 2001 at Loyola University, they said our purpose is to make sure there'll be no such thing as a distinct individual. There'll be
impossible. Stay there. We're going to keep talking. I want to keep going here. Look, we're not trying to beat you up here, Alan in Virginia, but out of the gates, you just brought up some stuff that wasn't accurate about the phone system here at the network. You know, the architecture of the technological revolution, we're not saying it couldn't be empowering, as low-level transhumanists say. We understand that. The point is, it's being deployed and funded as a control mechanism, and we've been right about every step of this, and you're saying you can't find where they say they're going to use this as a control mechanism? What about the January 7th, 2000 release of the 1980s documents by the Army War College on control? I mean, this is all about control. I mean, are you saying you can't find literature about how this is being used for control, or what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying, sir, that I've not been able to find any thinker or a group or anybody who actually discusses about human collective consciousness in any serious terms.
Well, it's not my, number one, and I appreciate your call. I mean, it's in my book, Descent into Tyranny. I've made films about it. Bill Joy's Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, owner of Sun Microsystems, chairman of Sun Microsystems, saying the elite have decided to basically kill all of us. It's throughout the literature that the elite is going to get rid of the majority of us, and they're going to be gods empowered with all this. So you're saying, with no proof, that you can't find proof when there's a mountain of it. Alan Watt?
Yeah, it's incredible. The universities, they've had world meetings recently across the planet on the transhumanist societies, heavily funded, big foundations, big professors from all the top universities, who've laid it on the line where they're going to take the public. So this character is either incredibly naive or he's lying.
Well, on the positive front, for what, 5 years, they've got brain implants where people can see in black and white now. And I think that's a positive thing, but of course it's going to be used for bad. They've got all sorts of brain chips to stop seizures and things. Aldous Huxley, whose brother ran the UN, Julian Huxley, right before he died in 62, talked about how he'd been seen secret programs in the 50s with people remote controlled by wires. When my dad was at University of Texas, he knew people were doing experiments where the pigeon would sit there with the brain implant hitting the button until it died from the pleasure centers. And this guy just says, he says he doesn't know anything about hive minds. When that, and I gave him an official Army report, and he just kind of goes, "Well, I haven't seen it."
And what this last fellow said, too, is interesting. He was into the collective mind. See, that's been pushed through all the New Age movement. We're all one, the collective mind. The collective mind means you have no mind of your own.
Here we go.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now.
There's a bunch of control freaks that want to try to dominate society. who think the future belongs to them and them alone. And I'm here to tell them this is a declaration of independence against war, you pot-bellied, chicken-necked pedophiles. You degenerate, power-tripping sickos. You are going down. We're going to get our hands around your scrawny necks, you bastards. David in Texas, you're on the air. No, no, we already went to David. Bill in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
He's gone too. Next up is Tom.
Man, this IM system getting me callers is just all jumbled. Just tell me again who it is. We'll just try to muddle through it.
Tom in North Carolina.
Tom in North Carolina, you're on the air with Alan Watt.
Hey, Alex, this is Tom McMillan. John McMillan's son, I talked to you years ago. John McMillan was killed in 82 for talking about the Trilateral Commission and the Rothschilds and international bankers.
Which the public used to tell us didn't exist. Now it's all been announced, so they say it exists, but it's good.
And this September, I keep getting the same feeling that, you know, it's like post-traumatic stress syndrome for the families of the revolutionaries, the good patriots that spoke about these years ago. And they have a gag rule on our story. We the book, we can't make movie. And they talked about my dad in relation to Gordon Call. And I chose a life out in western North Carolina in the Smoky Mountains instead of a prison like Gordon's son got. And that's
you know, I forget your story, so it's just kind of on the show, yeah. And I don't even know what you're talking about. So if I don't, I don't think the listeners do.
You said last time, you said, well, I guess you're telling the truth, but this story made national attention. He was a celebrity. You sound just like him. And they killed him. They shot him 18 times in Barre County, Georgia, brought a SWAT team out of Athens,
okay,
Georgia.
Okay, tell me the name again, because who?
B. McMillan.
Say it again?
John B. McMillan, McMillan. And it's documented. I don't know if you can pull it up from the Atlanta.
And the government told you that's a gag order?
Well,
gag orders have screw them. Do whatever you want.
Sir?
I mean, I do whatever I want. They tell me not to talk. I'll keep talking.
I know, but see, I'm talking to you because I don't believe in the gag rule, and I keep talking to everybody I know out here in western North Carolina about this story. And I'm a little sensitive about this.
Well, Kat, listen, I appreciate your call. We're at the end of the show, and every call is a personal thing, or every call is a little side issue, and it's all a disassociative thing going on where people can't focus in on what we're talking about. We don't screen calls here, but then sometimes I don't even know what people are talking about, so it kind of ruins the show, and I don't even know where we're going now, and it's the end of the show, and that's it. Let's try to go to Eric Nordstrom again with a Ron Paul money bomb idea. Eric Nordstrom, you got something you want to say in England?
Alex and Alan, thanks for giving them hell. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll keep it real quick for you because I know it's at the end of the show. I can't think of any other way to exit the show with something constructive. We put up the NoNewWorldOrder.com website up. It's a money bomb for Chuck Baldwin. I can't think of any other candidate out there who's been more vocal against the New World Order.
Okay, we're out of time. Got to let you go. We're going to have some days this week where I just take phone calls so everybody can get on, because then they're hurried and it doesn't work well. Alan Watt, thank you for spending time with us.
It's been a pleasure.
You bet. Take care. And to John B. McMillan's son, I didn't mean to sound rude. It's just, at the end of the show, it makes no sense, and I just don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, Infowars.com, retransmission starts now. With a bunch of big guests today on the streams at Infowars.com. Get the free podcast there as well. God bless you.